Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
College student is making national headlines after her blog post on interracial dating goes viral.
In that post, she writes about the racism she's experienced as a white woman dating a black man. All new at 10, Cake's Madeline Anderson shares the couple's message to others. Madeline?
Ashlyn Sullivan and Ramonte Green have been dating for 2 years. The 20-year-olds say they're opposites in almost every way. She's loud, he's quiet, he cooks, she doesn't. Yet they say the main contrast people notice is that Ashlyn is white and Ramonte is black. On December 22nd, Ashlyn Sullivan posted to her blog as usual, chronicling events in her life. But this particular entry soon became very different from the rest.
Before I wrote the blog, the most views I had in one day was 181 views. And after the blog, just in one day, I reached over 400,000 views. And now I'm up to 2 million.
Ashlyn writes that a table of guys began catcalling her while she was waitressing the previous night. She told them to stop and showed the group a picture of her boyfriend, Ramonte.
So then they started making racist remarks like, oh, you N-word lover. And it just shocked me. Like, I had no idea that there are still people that had views like that.
Her online account of those racist remarks struck a chord with so many readers that Cosmopolitan magazine emailed Ashlyn to see if she'd write for its website.
I thought it was a joke. I made the lady call me because I was like, there's no way that Cosmo wants need a write for this.
I knew it was coming sometime. She's a great writer, and I knew it was coming.
The attention has made the once private pair now an inspiration for not only interracial couples, but anyone facing discrimination. Although Ashlyn has received some negative feedback, even a death threat, she says the positive messages, in particular one from an elderly man, has made the whole thing worth it.
She just wrote me like this long letter saying, like, thank you so much. I'm really going to try to be a better person. You've opened my eyes to so much.
And if you would like to read Ashlyn's entire article on Cosmo, you can just head to cake.com and click on the story.
The Cows, Justice, Gus T. Renegade, in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of racism. Today's date, Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. So I have been told. Can't start things off poorly with Stevie Wonder. I always feel like that is a good audio selection. Before we get started, if anyone, I know we have folks, listeners in the D.C. area and or people, period, who have attended Dr. Welsing's lecture series in D.C. It's the second Thursday of every month, and it runs from September to June. So it will be tomorrow, February 12th, which is a Thursday. One of our listeners in the area, they just wanted the building. I know it's at 7 p.m. and it's on Howard's campus. And we're just trying to get the exact building. So if you have that information, if you've been, if you know, for certain this is the exact building that it's going to be in, you can let us know. I feel like we've shared that, like the exact building on the program before, but I'm not certain of the date off top because we've talked about this a few times over the years. But if anyone has that information, that would be greatly appreciated. Moving forward. Our guest for today's broadcast, you heard in the audio clip a few weeks back, right towards the end of 2014. This white female, she wrote a blog post about an experience of it might even be workplace racism. And it picked up a lot of momentum, lots of interest in terms of people commenting online, sharing the post, even local news outlets coming to interview her, and then there was even more racism sparked with the article getting so much attention and people being upset about the always hot topic of what they call interracial relationships. We thought it would be grand to have her on the program to kind of discuss the details of what happened, the response, and what this teaches us about the system of racism, what this teaches us specifically about white people. Thought it would be grand to have her on the program, reached out, and she was willing to hang out with us for the evening. She is a student at Butler Community College in the great state of Kansas, I believe, even right in the area of President Barack Obama's grandfather. Really pleased to have her on the program joining us live. Our guest, Ms. Ashlyn Sullivan. Ms. Sullivan, are you with us?
Yes.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your Wednesday evening. I know you could be doing other things with your time. For listeners, this might be their first time hearing from you and hearing about your blogging and what have you. Anything that you think it would be helpful for listeners to know about who you are before we get started?
Before this blog, I was a nobody, I guess you could say. Like, nobody really knew me. I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings, just working my way through school. Occasionally, I would blog just for the fun of it. I kind of used it as an online diary, and it had never had maybe more than 30 views until this blog happened. So it's not like I blog for attention. I think that's a big misconception with my blog after it got popular.
The blog address, for folks can check it out. It should be linked in the description, but it is ashlynsully.wordpress.com. Ashlyn, A-S-H-L-Y-N, Sully, S-U-L-L-Y, .wordpress.com. You can check it out. And the specific post that we're talking about, that is also linked, so you can go to it directly. Just for information, what sort of things do you normally talk about on your blog post? You said you use like a diary, so what are some of the things you talk about?
Oh my gosh, everything. I'm a big advocate for animals, so I'm constantly rescuing animals. So some of my blogs are geared towards the animals I've rescued. I had a tonsillectomy. I blogged about my experience with that. I've blogged about things dealing with like depression and self-harm and like kind of being inspiration to those who struggle with that. Religion, literally everything, you name it.
Okay. Not racism.
Not racism until December when I posted I Am Not Dating a Racial Slur, which was about my boyfriend and I.
Wow. We'll get into the details of that as we roll. Is it okay if we ask how old you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 20 and turned the big 21 this year.
Oh, wow. Wow. Fabulous. Always grand to have some of the younger folks on the program. You are in Camp Butler Community College. That's in El Dorado, Kansas. Is that correct?
Well, they have a branch in Andover. That's currently where I'm going. But I'm getting ready to transfer to Wichita State University.
Okay. Got it. For folks, that's kind of the southern portion of Kansas, kind of closer to Oklahoma border. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Close to the Tulsa area in Oklahoma, kind of. Okay, and the demographics of your town, where you are, like what's the size, if you know, kind of the general size of your town in terms of population, and then the demographics, like what percentage of your town is white, what percentage of it is black?
Oh, man. I live in Wichita. It is the biggest city in Kansas. Most people think Kansas City is, but most of Kansas City is actually in Missouri. How many people are in here? I honestly don't know. Hold on, my boyfriend's looking it up for me.
Oh.
386,552 for an exact number. As far as demographics, definitely majority, I would say maybe even as far as 75% white.
Wow.
If not more.
Could be more. Okay. Wow. 75% white. And do you know, like, I'm assuming, could be an error, that if it's at least 75% white, that your town is not 25% black? Like, Do you have an idea? I mean, sure. This is not in stone, but just your idea about what percentage of the town you think is black.
Probably about 10%.
10%. Okay. Not too many black people in one of Kansas, if not the largest state and largest city in Kansas. Okay. Fascinating. Greetings to Mr. Ramonte in the background. Hope he's doing well. Okay. question we ask all of our guests. Racism, I think it's very important to have a definition when talking about that. The definition that I use for both racism and white supremacy, I use those two terms as synonyms. The definition I use is as follows. A global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to abusing and or subjugating everyone in the known universe whom they classify as not white. Do you think such a system exists? Do you think that's an accurate definition?
I think that's an accurate definition. I definitely do think that there are people out there that fit that definition. So, yes, I'd have to agree with you.
Okay. To the best of your knowledge, do you think collectively that white people on the planet right now have more power than non-white people collectively right now on the planet?
Yes, I would have to agree with that as well.
Okay. Have you seen that, like, play out in your town as you're going to school, as things have evolved over your 20 years on the planet? Have you seen that play out, that white people have more power?
Living in Wichita, not really. We have, our mayor is black, our chief of fire department is black. I feel like I haven't seen that very much growing up here in Wichita. The school we went to, our principal was white, but that, I feel like it's just because we are from Wichita, but we attended school in Goddard, which is a small little farm town suburb of Wichita, so, maybe in my high school there was maybe 5 black people. My boyfriend's nodding, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a handful. It's crazy.
Wow, 5. That is, and what was the population of your high school? Do you remember, like, how many students?
We had to split the high school in half because it got too big, but, my graduating class is over 200. So I'm guessing if there's about 200 in each class, probably about 800.
Wow. And 5 black students out of 800?
Yep.
Man, wow. And did Ramonte attend this school? Was he one of the 5?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Ramonte is from Goddard.
That is intense. At some point, I might want to, if he wants to pitch in, I might have a question or two about that. I can only imagine.
Okay.
This is a question that I'm trying to ask all of our white guests, just kind of get a a sense of what they think. There was an article written about 2 months ago. This is a black male who wrote this piece. He was talking about racism at a particular magazine, and he got to a certain portion, and he said specifically that white people are often sincerely and greatly pained by racism, but rarely are they pained enough. That's the full sentence. And the question I wanted to ask is this first part. Do you think that this is a true statement, that white people are often sincerely and greatly pained by racism? Do you think that's a true statement?
Are you asking me or...
Your sense from being a white, you are a white woman, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm asking you about, do you think that's true of the white people that you've been around, your understanding, your assessment of white people? Do you think that's true just based on your experience?
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I think racism can go both ways, but I would mostly agree with your statement, yeah.
What do you mean racism can go both ways?
I think that racism is more prominent with whites against non-whites, but I also feel as though non-whites can be racist towards whites. Either way, it's wrong and it's bogus, but I definitely do think it can go both ways.
Hmm. Has a non-white person ever practiced racism against you?
No, not me personally, but I have seen it, and just it hasn't been towards myself. Well, actually, I can take that back. Before I wrote the blog, no. After writing the blog, yes. I was actually approached by an African-American female who claimed that it was morally and sinfully wrong for me to be dating my boyfriend because of the fact that he is black and I am white. And she used the term that it was not fair for me to be taking one of their kind from them. So it was her separating herself, I guess, from me. And I guess I just don't understand stuff like that. I don't know if that makes me naive to not understand that stuff like that goes on out there. I guess I'm very fortunate to not have been exposed to any of this until December.
Hmm. So this black female, after you wrote your blog post, a black female, this was in person, like face-to-face that she said this?
No, it was in through emails and comments on my blog.
Okay. And did she identify herself as a black person, black female?
Yeah, well, it was Facebook message, I guess.
I mean, she said I'm a black female, or she just had a picture up of a black female?
Oh, no. She said, as an African-American, something about it being disgraceful.
Okay, I see. So black female, African-American female, contacting you online, emails, Facebook messages, basically saying, I'm paraphrasing, that she didn't think it was correct for you to be with a black male. She didn't think it was correct morally, and that you shouldn't be taking a black male away from black females as a white woman. I'm kind of paraphrasing that's the gist of what she said in these emails, and you think that was her practicing racism against you?
In a way, yes. I think it was very subtle racism. I don't think it was too extreme, but in a way, yeah, I would agree that was her practicing racism towards me.
Oh, we don't agree. I was just trying to make sure that I understood you correctly. But yeah, there's not consensus on this. That's why I started with my definition for racism, because I think in these conversations it's very important just to be clear about what we mean when we say racism. What is your definition of racism?
I guess my definition of racism is judging somebody else and having prejudice against them just solely based off of their skin color.
Okay.
Judging
someone solely on the basis of their skin color. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, we have, just for the dialogue, very important listeners, Ms. Sullivan and I, we have two radically different definitions for racism. And so that's something to definitely keep in mind throughout the course of the conversation, because we were in agreement, Ms. Sullivan and I, that white people collectively have more power than non-white people. And that has to be factored in. What we're talking about with racism is a power imbalance, where the more powerful white collective, they are using that abundance of power to mistreat non-white people globally and in all areas of people activity. So I've concluded that it is not possible for a non-white person to practice racism. I would even take your example. She said, this black female, she said whatever she said to you, Facebook, email. I'm sure that's not stopping you from getting hours at your restaurant, your place of employment. That's not stopping you from attending classes. Like, that's not disrupting your experience at Butler Community College. That's not messing up your relationship. She said what she said. And, you know, if I understand Facebook correctly, you could block or mute her so that these conversations stop if you didn't want to, you know, hear what she had to say. That to me just doesn't seem like, if anything, with all of the Charlie Hebdo, that would seem like freedom of speech. That doesn't seem like her practicing racism. Does what I just said, does that make sense, or am I talking crazy?
No, that makes sense to me. And I do agree with you, but I guess, like you said, our views on racism are very different, but I do totally understand what you are saying.
Okay. But you still think that this was her practicing racism against you?
In a way. I almost feel like there's different levels of racism. I feel like the definition of racism that you use, that's like extreme racism. But again, this is coming from, I mean, like you said, I'm a white female. I haven't had very many encounters with racism. But then again, when the newspaper is emailing or interviewing my boyfriend, he also hasn't encountered racism very often. I think it must just be like the town that we're in. So I feel like we're very fortunate to live in the city that we live in.
I can only say that speaking for myself, before I began to study racism a bit more in depth, there were many, 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 many times where racism was being practiced against me directly, and I was not aware of it just because the system is that sophisticated, and a lot of times victims can be confused about how it's operating. And there were many times just out of fear, because I don't have as much power as white people, I was afraid to speak up when racism was being practiced, and I did notice it. But I found those two things to be very common, and I can only say that I strongly suspect, in fact, I would say it this way, I find it hard to believe that a black person in a school of hundreds of white people, where there are only five total black people, I find it hard to believe that that black person wouldn't have a lot of experiences with racism, but I could be wrong. The other major point I wanted to make sure I got in, you said my definition is more extreme. I reject that. Because what I'm saying, this is the system that operates worldwide. It would be either it's true or it's not true. And then once we ascertain whether or not it's true, and I think there's an abundance of evidence that would strongly support, that would really make it obvious that, yes, that's what's happening on the planet right now. And then we could make an assessment about whether or not it's extreme. It's just in these conversations I've found many times racists will use terms like radical or extreme or militant to delegitimize a non-white person talking about and revealing truth about racism. So I really try to be careful about those type of words, particularly when it's a white person describing my views as extreme or radical or whatever the other terms. Not that you were doing that necessarily. To get to the article, or I guess even before we get to the article, just to get a little bit more background, did your parents or other family members, did they ever talk to you? Did race ever come up, like, in the house? Was this something you all discussed?
Not really. I come from a very open household. My mom has taught me from day one to not see color, love people for who they are. And she really, growing up, she really enforced the fact that God created all of us equally, God loves all of us, and to love everybody and treat everybody the way you want to be loved and treated. So, honestly, it never, I'm sure she never even batted an eyelash. I've dated white people, I've dated Hispanics, I've dated multiple black guys. I mean, it really just has never been an issue for my parents, and I would think that goes fairly well with the rest of my family, too. None of them have ever worried about it. I have cousins who are Hispanic. I have cousins who are Asian. I mean, we're a very blended family.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Did, to your knowledge, did Ramonte, your partner, did his parents or any family members, friends, or what have you, did they have any issues with him being with a white female?
He is right here. Do you want to ask him?
I'm sure he'll be able to answer. Sure.
Hello, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, sir. Glad to hear from you. Mr. Ramonte, do you want to give your last name?
Green.
Mr. Ramonte Green. Glad to hear from you as well, sir. Did your parents or family members, friends, did anybody have any concerns, problems with you being with Ashlyn Sullivan, white female?
Not really, to my knowledge, my family is really open, like she said, in Wichita, Kansas, where we're from. You don't really see or really hear about this sort of thing happening. So it wasn't really said, I guess you can say.
Even though it wasn't said, was there any sort of nonverbal communication that might suggest that maybe somebody didn't think this was cool?
No, not at all. Not that, no. I have very open eyes, and I can see, and I couldn't see it.
His parents are very outspoken, and if they have something to say, they would say it.
They will say it.
Okay. Did your, at any point, like in your time growing up in this area of Kansas, did your parents talk to you about race, parents, family members, whatever? Did they ever talk to you about racism?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, in the black community, you have to be aware of racism, have to be aware of everything that goes around, pretty much. So it's a lot of talking that goes around, yes.
How did they explain racism to you?
Whew. That was a long time ago. pretty much, like she was talking about, it, there's different colors in the world, and I don't know how to really go off of it. It's different people in the world that they don't believe are the same things, and I mean, it's a tough topic. I can't even speak on that one.
Did they?
It's got to bring back on what they said.
Did they tell you that black people have had, you know, a serious problem and have been under terrorist attack from whites in this area of the world and globally for a long time? Was that ever, like, explicitly stated?
It wasn't exactly stated because around here you're not really aware of that situation. We're not really down in the southern part of the country where it's really, you need to be aware of it. We don't really have that problem here. I mean, you see it in the movies and whatnot, and I see it from there. And here and there, talks from the parents and family members. But here, like I said, you don't really see that, so we're not really aware, I guess.
That is fascinating. So your parents never articulated, like, you know, you should not be involved, like, dating or anything with a white female? Nothing like that was ever said?
Not really, no. Like she said, like we're saying, they're very open. They don't really mind. As long as they know exactly who it is and what they're about, and as long as their head is on straight, it doesn't really cause a problem.
I see. And you...
But they do keep our heads up with... Oh, no, you're fine. They do keep they tell us to keep our heads up just in case anything does happen, like in these situations.
I see. And you were one of five black students in a high school with over 700 whites. Is that correct?
That sounds about right. Every year we grew, but it started out only a couple of us.
Wow. And... there was never any moment where you thought racism was in effect in your time as a high school student in this sea of whites?
I mean, you see a little bit. Here and there, Caucasians do call black people by the N-word, of course, but they don't really do it in an offensive way. I played a lot of sports in high school, so I think that really settled it down to where I didn't have to see it. But I didn't really see that much of it.
So did a white person at any time ever call you a nigger while you were in high school?
Yes, it was a nigger here once, twice there. But other than that, it's nigga. That's my nigga, because, of course, I have a lot of white friends, so they throw that word around sometimes.
I see. And you don't think there's anything incorrect about that?
There's definitely something incorrect, but the context is where it's at. And me, myself, I'm a very chill person. If I know you, or if I know the way that you're trying to say it is not hurting me, then I don't really mind it.
Okay.
But yes, there's something wrong with that.
Did you ever try and bring that up with them?
Yeah, but it's so many people around, not sure I don't know how to say that.
I think maybe, like, the best way for me to put it, it's more of the context. And sometimes that even bothers me. I'll catch people off guard, and I think it's more of the context that they use it. I know my boyfriend's best friend is white, and if he uses that word, neither one of us bat an eyelash because he's mostly being what he thinks is funny or joking around, and they're basically brothers. However, coming from a small suburb, farm school, when there were cases of people using the actual N-word, I think that's where he's saying that, yeah, he does believe it. It is wrong, and but he couldn't necessarily defend himself. I'm sure he spoke up against it, but like he said, it's awkward because he would be the only black person against eight or more football guys. And I'm sure it was more just awkwardness than fear. Would you agree with? Like, you're never scared, were you?
True.
I don't. Number one, before I even get to my point. For folks listening in, that was a fascinating point for Ms. Sullivan to interject her views. I pay attention to that a lot when people are having conversations about racism, when non-white people interrupt and speak for white people and vice versa. But I thought that was fascinating, her jumping in at that point. And then second, I don't believe that. As a black person who has been in environments where I am the only or maybe one of a couple black people in an environment with a lot of white people, 5, 10, 20, 30 white people, and something racist happens, and it is fear. That awkwardness, there's an element of fear there. And knowing that power dynamic that I talked about, that white people can do a lot of damage, whether it's physical or messing your career up, both. Terrorism, that was in the New York Times today. This is terrorism, the legacy of what whites have done, including in Kansas. And it can be fearful. It can be terrorizing to speak up and call that out, especially if these are quote-unquote white friends that you're very close to bring this up. Matter of fact, it was in the Washington Post, Lawrence Otis Graham, his son was in a predominantly white private school, and some white people rode by and called him a nigger, and he didn't want to bring it up around his white friends because he didn't want to be thought of as racial and that he couldn't handle this sort of thing. He said that was what Mr. Graham said about his son and being traumatized about all this. So I don't believe that, but I could be in error. I think we had a slight discrepancy in responses as well about the high school racism. And Ms. Sullivan, I think you were saying that you didn't really think there was much of it there. And he said apparently at least there were some white people calling other black people nigger as well as nigga, where they were having fun about it. But apparently it seemed like it was done sometimes where it was not a joke and this is a cool thing. But to kind of get to the gist of what sparked this blog post on your site, and folks can check it out. It's titled, I Am Not Dating a Racial Slur, and it's at ashlynsully.wordpress.com. So this is the end of 2014. You are working your shift, waitress. What transpires?
Well, I was working a shift just like it was a weekend, just like any other normal night. I don't know if you're familiar with waitress terms, but the term cut at work means that you no longer have to take tables. However, you still have to, like, clean your section and do dishes, stuff like that. So it's not time for you to go home, but you're not taking any more tables. I had just gotten cut, and I was finishing serving my last table. A group of six drunk guys came in. We have a hookah bar across the street. They came in. Seated themselves. They're very rowdy, very rude to our host, who notified our manager that there were people who came in that were intoxicated. I had to walk by their table to fill up a customer's pop, and the table of men started, well, I'm not even going to call them men, the table of guys started catcalling me, saying things such as, oh, look at that hottie, stuff like that, which didn't bother me at first. I was just like, they're drunk, ignore it, no big deal. It's when things started turning sexually explicit that I started to feel uncomfortable and get really angry. One of them was talking about how he was going to have sex with me and all this stuff after work. Keep in mind, I never met these guys in my life. And I turned around and had made a sassy remark. I don't even remember what it was. Something along the lines of me having a boyfriend, they needed to be quiet. Honestly, I probably should have just kept my mouth shut, just kept serving this table, let it go. However, hindsight is always 40-40. It was when I told them that they had a boyfriend, they disagreed, told me there's no way I had a boyfriend. I clicked my phone screen, which happens to be a picture of Ramonte and I, and the first thing that they noticed was that he was black. And that is when, instead of being sexually explicit, things turned to racial slurs, calling me an N-word lover, saying I had jungle fever, pretty much anything you can think of came out of their mouths. I was extremely offended. Thank God I was fine enough not to sit there and argue with them. I went and got a manager. The manager was notified. The boys were told to pay their tab and leave. They ended up leaving without paying. But it really angered me. I went to the bathroom. I was so angry that I was actually shaking because I had never really experienced something like that face-to-face before. And it just angered me that people would say something like that about my boyfriend who, one, they've never even met, and two, that they would be so blatantly rude to a female that they had never even engaged in a civil conversation with. And I had, my boyfriend was at work at the time, and I was texting him, telling him what would just happen and how I was so upset. And I went home. I was still angry. I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, I was still very angry, and that's what sparked the blog. I was like, you know, I just need to get this off my chest. I just need to vent about it. Maybe my mom might read it just because she's my mom. She always reads my blogs. But, I mean, just by the end of that very first day after posting it, it had just gone viral.
Wow. So I guess to get just a few of the details, were these folks underage?
Yes, they were. We had not served them alcohol, to make that clear.
Right.
They came in intoxicated.
Okay. Is that like...
They were underage.
They were underage. Okay. Does your establishment, do they have a policy about underage? Because, I mean, that's a crime, unless I've been misinformed. Do y'all have a policy about if underage... people come into your establishment and they're clearly under the influence about either not serving or call the police, or is there a policy on that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have to get our liquor license as a server, and so we have to take a class on different procedures. And one of our policies at my workplace is if there is underage drinking, whether it took place before or within our establishment, cops are notified. This night, and it's not up to the server to call cops, it's up to the manager. This night, you know, I'm not exactly sure why the cops weren't called, but it wasn't in my hands. However, looking back, I really wish I would have pushed for them to be called.
That's the hashtag criming while white. That would be two violations where police should have been called for these folks, them being underage and under the influence. Probably that was actually should be three, because I'm sure they probably drove there. So that would be three. And then them leaving without paying their tab. Were the police notified then when they didn't pay their tab?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Did you all call the police once this group of white hooligans did not pay their bill?
No, my manager actually chased them out into the parking lot, caught one of the guys who paid their bill, and, he had to pay for everybody.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good. Wow. Okay. So the police aspect, the catcalling, did you notify your manager about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He was told, our host who, she's mixed. She's half white, half black. They didn't make racial remarks to her, but they when she was feeding them, they were saying things like, ooh, look at the ass, this and that. So she was the first person to notify my manager. The second person to notify my manager was the server, the guy who was serving the stable. He wanted to refuse service to them. He notified my manager, and then I was the third person down the line to notify my manager.
That is incredible. Especially, I'll have to check back. Buffalo Wild Wings, not the one in Kansas, but a different establishment. I think they might have been the same. It was a chicken wing place, but they had an incident of racism that was drew a lot of attention about a year and a half ago. It was not in Kansas. I think it was in the North Carolina area, but I have to double check. But they were ejected from the restaurant for, I don't even remember, they felt it was racism. The restaurant gave a different explanation. But they were ejected for something really trivial and or racist. This white gang has come in multiple infractions, and they get to hang out and have to be chased down to even pay the bill. That is the system of white supremacy right there. So all of this takes place. Is your manager a white person, non-white person?
One of my managers is white. The guy that was working this night, yes, he is white.
Okay. White male, female?
Yeah.
Your manager is a white male or a white female?
Yeah, it's a white male.
White male, okay. So you go to write your blog post about all of this. It blows up, millions of hits, it turns out, television cameras come in to interview and all this stuff. You get an additional backlash once you get all of this attention. What sorts of things are you getting besides the black female who said that she didn't think you should be with a black male? What other kind of comments did you get?
Oh, man. It ranged from very, very positive things. I had an outreach from people all over the world. In fact, I'm still waking up with fan mail, which is crazy to get used to. But some of the negative comments were very shocking and very... very, very disturbing. I received videos. I believe there was this girl in Florida in December of last year who was forced to drink igniter fluid and set on fire. She's a white female, had a black boyfriend. To this day, currently, nobody really knows much about the case. It's still under investigation. However, I started receiving emails of YouTube videos and news stories from that saying that I was going to be next. This is what happens when you date the N-word, stuff like that. And to me, that was very shocking and really disgusting, disturbing. It ranged from other things like death threats, telling me what they would love to do to me. They're lucky that they don't know where I live. Just a lot of those, but again, most of the comments have been very positive, people reaching out to me.
And when you say most of them, if you had to put a percentage on it, like 75%, 60%, a little over half, like what percentage do you think?
I'd probably say 70% positive, 30% negative.
Okay. And if the people are identifying, if you're able to come to some sort of conclusion, the people making the negative comments, is it like a mix of everybody? Is it mostly white people? Is it mostly black people, like the black female you were talking about earlier?
It's majority, I would say a good 95% of it would be white people. Somebody put my blog, a link to my blog on a website called skinheadunited.org. So then I just received an outpour of hate comments and hate emails after my blog was posted to that website. There's also a website called 4chan, which I was not familiar with until this blog had been linked to it, and the comments on there were just absolutely disgusting.
What did they say?
Oh my gosh, they posted... things called my boyfriend an animal, saying that I was going to be living on welfare with 5 kids, that they hoped that I would be brutally murdered, and that my boyfriend and his, gang of friends were going to gang rape me, and I would end up in a ditch unidentified somewhere. I mean, anything negative, racist, you can think of, I'm sure I've read it on 4chan under my blog post. And several times 4chan had actually taken the forum down. At least 13 times that I know of, my blog was posted onto 4chan for people to just sit there. People to just sit there and discuss their views.
Wow. I'm pretty sure you probably made Stormfront and Chimp Out as well. I'm familiar with those too.
Yes. Yes, Stormfront was, I was linked to Stormfront and you said Chimp Out, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, both of those sites as well.
Wow.
There's a thing on my blog where you can see, like, the refer, like, where they found my blog at, where they clicked on the link to access the blog, and that's where I started finding out about where some of these comments were coming from, because they would come in spurts. There'd be days where I wouldn't have any negative comments, and then out of nowhere, I'd wake up and have over 200 comments to feed through people negatively commenting.
Wow.
So it was very evident when somebody had posted my blog to a racist or white supremacy website.
I see. Were you aware of any of these sites before all of this attention?
Absolutely not. I'm very naive when it comes to racism. I had no idea. I guess it's not fair for me to say I had no idea. I mean, I'm sure it's possible that stuff like that could exist out there. I just never encountered it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing I would ever Google search or, I don't know. Like, there's no reason for me to be aware of it, I guess.
I see. Number one, you said 95% of the people you think that were making these nasty comments, racist comments, attacking you, even death threats, 95% of that was from other whites. Were some of these whites, or a significant number of these whites, were they using Christianity to attack you and saying that you, being with a black male, that this was somehow in violation of the Christian faith? And if so, can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I got that one fairly often. That's probably what angered me the most, is for people to try and bring in the Bible into play when it comes to interracial dating. It really, at first it angered me, and it really took a lot of patience for me not to respond to these people, because that just shows me that they haven't actually read the Bible themselves, and that they're just taking whatever their parents or their pastors or whoever they look up to is feeding them, and they're not doing their own research. They're not thinking for themselves. They're not going out there and experiencing everything with, like, a fresh slate. And to me, that was very saddening. And it really shows me, like, this is why people think Christians are crazy. I know that Christians can have the connotation of being racist, being stuck up, being feeling superior to others. And to me, that's just, it's sickening almost.
Did you pay attention to any of the controversy that's been going on for about the last week? President Obama, he was giving a talk about last Thursday, Friday, and he was saying basically that people condemning ISIS and or the Muslim faith in total should not be so quick to hop on their high horse, because people have used Christianity to justify the Crusades and the enslavement of black people and Jim Crow terrorism against black people, as it was reported in the New York Times today. Have you been paying attention to all of that?
I've seen bits and pieces. My boyfriend and I, we don't have cable, but I definitely have seen a couple of news articles online. And I would definitely agree with him. We, as Christians, first of all, who are we to judge anybody else, because the Bible even says not to judge others? And second of all, I think Obama's absolutely right. Christians do use the Bible to back up their wrongdoings sometimes. But I also feel like those aren't true Christians. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not big on religion. I definitely believe in God, but I don't like to label myself as one religion or another. However, So I definitely would agree with Obama that people do use religion to back up their wrongdoing.
You're going to be in for another batch of hate mail agreeing with President Obama. You can, anybody hears this broadcast. Just I want to get your thoughts on this. If 95% of the people that were, you know, attacking you, including death threats, you think were white, and they were using the Bible, religion of white supremacy, to justify their attacks and saying what you were doing was wrong, to me that suggests that racists, they have an expectation about what a white man, what a white woman is supposed to do, and that they will be very angry and will let you know when you as a white person have violated whatever agreement they think is in place in terms of what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense? Does that seem to be what you have been reading with all of these comments, folks attacking you?
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Okay. And just based on what you've read, what does it seem like people expect you should be doing as a white woman?
Apparently, I quote-unquote should not be disappointing my ancestors or mixing the gene pool. I've gotten that one quite a lot. According to the hate comments, I should be, quote-unquote, being a good girl and dating within my own race. And continuing on, the next generation of white people, I guess. But to me, that's absurd.
Fascinating. If folks have questions they would like to ask Ms. Sullivan, feel free, chime in. The number to dial is 760-569-7676. The code is 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you have questions. Before I hit some of the folks who dialed in, why do you think this particular post became so massively popular?
I feel like it had to have become very popular. I think it's relatable to a lot of people. I've had tons of people who are in interracial relationships all around the world contact me, thanking me for speaking out, not only for myself and for my boyfriend, but they feel as though I've spoke out for them as well, that I have said everything that they've been wanting to say, but have been either too scared to say, too embarrassed to say, but I just simply didn't know how to say it elegantly, I guess.
Has you've got all these threats? I know you and Mr. Green Ramonte, you all have done interviews together, and his picture is on a lot of the different posts around the web that are talking about your situation. Has he been threatened as well?
Not personally, no. He hasn't received any hate mail or hate comment. Well, he's received hate comments that are directed towards him. They're to me, but they are speaking about him on my blog. As far as messages on Facebook and emails, those have all been completely positive.
Okay. Are you aware that there is a very long list? This was included the New York Times today, Legacy of Racial Terrorism, where frequently black males and sometimes entire black areas have faced extreme lethal white terrorism as a result of a rumor or suggestion or out and out lie that a black male was involved in some sort of sexual activity with a white woman or recklessly eyeballed a white woman, Emmett Till. Many, they listed quite a few in the report that came out, Mr. Brian Stevenson. Are you aware of this history?
Correct, yeah.
Ms. Sullivan, are you aware of this history?
Yes. Yes, I am aware of that.
Okay. Do you think in any way, shape, or form that you could be putting Mr. Green, Ramonte, in some sort of danger with all of this, that same sort of white terrorism could be inflicted upon your partner, Mr. Green?
No, I think maybe if we lived in the South, that, yes, that would definitely be a concern of mine. But living in Wichita, no.
Hmm. Are you aware of Lynn and Lacey?
No.
Hmm. Fascinating. That even would bring up another point. Your blog post, you said, I think it easily became the most popular post that you've ever written, and you had like 300,000 hits in the first like day or half day, first 12 hours or whatever, and then it got up to 2 million, probably way more than that by now. And then Cosmopolitan Magazine coming to invite you to write about your piece. Folks can check that out online right now, where you first time getting an article there. What would your response be that in and of itself, you, a white girl who you don't study racism at Butler Community College, do you?
No, I don't believe that there's a racism course offered at Butler Community.
Hmm, okay. that you, a student, just not even 21 years old yet, and someone who doesn't write about, talk about racism, you are off talking about other things, animals and what have you, can have this sort of post and get all this attention and most of it positive, sympathy, get on local television, get an offer to write for Cosmopolitan. Did they compensate you for that piece?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
They approached me stating that they had read my blog, they absolutely loved it, that they realized that in the sex and relationship column in Cosmopolitan that they don't cover a lot of interracial relationships, and that they predominantly cover white couples. And the editor that actually reached out to me, she wanted to change that. She said, you know, I think this will be a great start to opening the door to seeing more of this on Cosmopolitan. So I thought that was really awesome of her.
Hmm. Fascinating. What would your response be that just all of this attention, you getting an opportunity to write for a major magazine and getting on television, all this attention to your blog and what have you, as a white female, just that in and of itself is another way, another manifestation of white supremacy, because Lynn and Lacey certainly, unless I'm in error, didn't get that much attention at all. And this was a black male who was found suspiciously hanging from a tree in North Carolina. He was 17, and this happened after Michael Brown Jr. was shot and dead, and he didn't get nearly that much attention. What would your response to that be?
I'm not very educated, I guess, on this occurrence. I don't know much about it, so I think it's hard for me to speak out about it. Wow, that's a really tough question. That has a lot of depth to it. I didn't choose for my blog to go viral. I think it's sad that my blog has, in your opinion, received more media coverage than that. That sounds very tragic, and that's very disheartening. I really don't feel qualified to speak about something that I don't know much about, though.
Right. This is not asking you to comment about Lynn and Lacey's situation, although that might be something worth investigating, because he also apparently was in some sort of sexual arrangement with a white woman. But that notwithstanding, it's really just more about the amount of focus, because even Charles Blow, he's a black male, he wrote a column where he was saying that the media disproportionately shows white people as victims of crime. And I was thinking even this case would qualify. You are the victim of racism. That's how it's presented. I think that's exactly what they said in the audio clip that I played. Miss Sullivan, victim of racism, white victim of racism. Even the victims of racism are white. Just in my opinion, that is just another manifestation of racism, white supremacy, how someone like you, just a young 20-year-old community college student can get this much attention for this sort of incident when you've got massive incidents of racism happening to black people on a daily basis that barely even get a whisper. I don't think Kendria Johnson, a young black female, 6 years old, who's just found suspiciously strangled from a jump rope in Minnesota, I don't think she got nearly as much attention, like, just to put things in perspective. I could be in error. I will ask Mr. Green, Ramonte, did you know about Lynn and Lacey? Do you know who that is?
As you're speaking, I am looking it up here right now. I did not know. I do know of cases, some cases of this incident happening, but not this one precisely.
Okay. You should, there's a specific post where his white girlfriend, who happened to be in her 30s, he was 17, that notwithstanding,
correct,
where she talks about perhaps their arrangement, sexual arrangement or whatever they were doing, that might have led to his demise. That might be an interesting article to check out and discuss. I guess before I get our callers, Ms. Sullivan, what would your response be? Or I guess it'll be two questions. Number one, do you think, quote unquote, interracial relationships, do you think that helps to get rid of racism? And if so, how?
I'll let Ramonte, what are you wanting both of us to answer?
I'd like to hear your response first.
Okay. I think interracial dating, I think it's stupid that we even have to coin it as something. I personally believe it's just two people who love each other and are dating. I think it's silly that it's still looked at as maybe like a special circumstance relationship, such as lesbian, gay, transsexual relationships are. However, I don't feel like we're doing the world justice by being in a relationship just because we have different skin pigments. To me, that seems almost silly. I do think, though, we have, with my blog, we have definitely changed a lot of people's opinions. But I don't feel like we're combating racism by being together now.
Okay. That is significant, because I hear that pretty frequently, people suggesting that these sorts of arrangements are somehow working against racism, and I too don't. That is the highest order of nonsense. What would your response be to some folks if they took the position that your blog getting all of this attention and you getting asked to come write for Cosmopolitan, that reveals that under the current system of white supremacy, there is a push to encourage sexual relationships between white males and white females and non-white people, that this sort of thing is being encouraged, that this is just another act of racism, you taking advantage of a non-white person? What would your response to that be?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wow. I definitely don't think that we're encouraging sexual relationships at all, just from the very get-go. I think that we're encouraging respectful relationships, loving relationships, supportive relationships. I don't necessarily think that we're encouraging white-on-white sexual relationships. We're not encouraging black-on-black sexual relationships, any form of race. I mean, literally, we're just a couple in their early 20s dating. Race doesn't really come into effect for us as a couple. When I look at Ramonte, I don't look at him and say, oh, my God, I'm dating a black guy. When I introduce him, I don't say, oh, look, guys, here's my black boyfriend. His name's Ramonte. To me, I just... He's my boyfriend. I'm his girlfriend. He's just another person to me.
What would your response be? We've had an author on the program, actually quite a few, who've taken the position that anytime a white person engages in sexual intercourse with a non-white person, that is a maximum act of aggression, maximum form of racism being practiced by that white person, because we are under a system of white supremacy, and every single white person should be suspected of being a participant in that system of racism and mistreatment. Therefore, these sort of sexual arrangements should never take place. What would your response to that be?
If somebody told me that to my face, I'd probably bust out laughing, to be quite honest. I think that is probably one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, and I'm sorry if that is your view. I don't mean to, like, offend anybody whose view that is. But to me, I guess just knowing myself and knowing my relationship, I'm not arranging myself with Ramonte to practice racism. Like I said, I don't even look at us as an interracial couple. I look at us as a girl who's 20 and a guy who's 20, and we love each other, and we've been together for 2 years now. End of story. I mean, we love each other. I don't feel like me engaging in our relationship means that I am necessarily practicing racism, or that I am, either one of us is being aggressive towards another race.
Fascinating. Before I get to the callers, Mr. Green, do you feel like, as much honesty as we can bear, do you feel like you can honestly talk about racism? If you experience things, see things, even if Ms. Sullivan, if she does something or says something that could be racist, do you feel like you can honestly bring that up with her?
Yeah, we are a very open couple. I can bring anything up to her. There was one incident I can definitely bring up, not exactly with her, but with another driver on the road. I was driving around one of our roads, of course, in Wichita. I was waiting on the red light. I was waiting on a car to go through an intersection and go into Hobby Lobby. There was a Caucasian white male behind me in a truck. The light had turned green in the process of this car waiting to turn. The car was still turning. The truck behind me with the white male did honk at me. I still waited. Car went past. I drove past. We both got stopped at a red light. As I did stop, I saw the white male pull up to his middle finger, flip me off, and call me a nigger. I did have a passenger with me. He was a black male also. We did get kind of upset about the situation, but we sat in the car and let things be and did what we had to do.
Wow. And what is, wow. Did you call the police?
I didn't call the police because, I mean, it was something that little. Why get the police involved when I never see that person again?
I would, and this just for everybody, listeners, I would encourage calling the police for those sort of incidents, just because at least there's a report. We talked about this so frequently, just the importance of documentation. And you could even look at it as kind of helping somebody else out. Generally, the people that are doing these sort of things, it's not a one-time thing. I'm sure you're not the first black person that he's called a nigger. So if you can kind of get that on the record, particularly license plate, bam, 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 that this happened, even if, you know, there's not a pursuit in your case, if, you know, they don't track him down or press charges or whatever, when he does this again, they'll be, oh, you've got a pattern. There's a history of you doing this sort of thing. It might be more likely that, you know, someone can deal with it. But that's just my general rec, not for you necessarily personally, but for listeners.
Okay. I
definitely encourage, call the police, get a report. Get it written down. Very, very, very important long term. Before I get to the callers, I'll ask really quick, Ms. Sullivan, since you're a waitress, there's a whole chapter in one of the books that is in my top 10. I recommend every single black person, every single victim of racism should definitely read the book. It is called Two-Faced Racism. Joe Fagan, Leslie Pica. Joe Fagan has been a guest on the program. And it's basically this is what white people talk about when they're no black people around. And it's tons of illustrations of young white people talking about their friends doing different racist things. There's a whole section of the book that is on racism in the restaurant industry and how white people have a very extensive code in practicing racism when they are serving food, which is terrifying on many levels. They talk about tipping.
I think that is definitely some people. I wouldn't say that would be everybody, though. I will take any table, any disability, any color, any, I mean, I don't discriminate my tables. So I think that's a valid point to make to an extent, but I think it's not fair to say that that is practiced everywhere.
Oh, okay. I heard the word fair. That was another important one where she interrupted to get that point in. I think that's significant as well. Again, these white people say that it's very extensive. I will ask, have you heard any of this in terms of any of the white people that you work with making comments about black people don't tip or them not wanting them in their section or any code words that are used specifically for when black patrons enter your establishment? Have you ever heard any of that?
In my establishment, absolutely not. We have black servers, we have black hosts, we have black cashiers, we have black cooks, we have black captains. I mean, no, absolutely not. I think if somebody were to say something like that in the restaurant that I work in, they would be reported to a manager, and two, they would be excluded from the rest of the servers. We are a family at Buffalo Wild Wings. So for someone to sit there and say something like that, that would offend us as a whole.
I see. Are you aware of this existing anywhere outside of your establishment in terms of whites having this attitude that work in the food service industry, either that black people don't tip well, or I don't want a whole lot of black people in my section, or even just having code words that they use to describe black people? Are you aware of this?
I've never heard of code words. I'm sure that it happens. There's definitely sick people out there that would do something like that. Anywhere I have worked, though, absolutely. I've never, ever even heard of such a thing. I've heard, wow, this table has a bunch of jerks or assholes in it, but I've never heard somebody say, oh my God, I just got sat with a table of black people, or of course they didn't tip because they're black, or anything like that. To me, I don't know if someone just wouldn't say me because they know that I am dating a black man, but I have never personally heard anything of that sort.
Okay. It's widespread for listeners. They have new reports that come out on a pretty regular basis that substantiate that this seems to be a pretty massive problem. The Wall Street Journal, in fact, they did a report talking about this not too long ago, and University of North Carolina, might not have been Chapel Hill, I think it might have been the Greensboro branch, but they did a study that came out in 2012 and addressed a lot of the things that I just said, the complaints about tipping and not giving them the same level of courtesy and what have you that white people get. It's reported widely. The folks that dialed in who had questions, we will get hands. We can just stick to questions, no speechifying. Thank you kindly. The person that dialed in, 1-388-1388, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan? Caller at 1-388, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan? Your line should be open. Last check. Assuming you're just listening, or maybe you can.
Can you come back to me? I'm tied up right now.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, sir. We'll come back to you.
Yeah, hello?
Caller at 0096. Did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I have two questions, and my son has two questions. I would like for my son to go first.
Come on.
Okay, what are your questions? Hello.
Yes. How you doing? My first question is, earlier you said that a black person can show racism towards a white person. But my question is, how can a black person practice racism towards a white person?
So your question is, how can a black person or a white person experience racism from a black person?
Can you repeat that again? Hello?
Yeah, I was trying to clarify. you're kind of breaking up. What's your question? How can a white person experience racism from a black person?
Earlier you said a black person can show racism towards a white person. And I want to know, how can a black person practice racism towards a white person?
I mean that, well, I think it depending on your definition of racism. If you agree with Guy, however, my definition of racism, as well as Google's definition of racism, it's any race discriminating another race based solely on that person or the other person's race. So, yes, I do think that if a black person said something about or judged me or discriminated me based on me being white, that would be me experiencing racism. I don't think that it's a very popular occurrence. I think that Gus is correct when he does say that white people are prominently racist towards black people. However, I do believe that it can go both ways on the scale.
Okay, and my second question is, no, according to you, what's the difference between subtle racism and extreme racism? Because in my book, I mean, they're all the same. I mean, all racism is bad. So, I mean, what's your difference between the two?
Well, I think racism is racism, bottom line. I would say extreme racism is several things that Gus had mentioned about the several black people have been mysteriously killed. I think that would be extreme racism if it were proved that white person had done that to them. I think subtle racism is something when a white person jokingly calls their black best friend the N-word. And that's just my opinion. I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion and their own views on that. That's just the way that I look at it.
Okay, thank you for answering my question.
Yeah, no problem.
Were you going to get your question in as well, Father?
Yes, sir. Earlier, you said that, did one of you earlier say that jokingly that you use racial epithets towards your boyfriend or his friend does because he has a white friend? Did you say earlier that y'all jokingly say the word nigger to your boyfriend or something to that effect?
Personally, I do not know, but I'll let my boyfriend go ahead and answer this one for you.
They don't use nigger in that term. However, they do use the nigga in the term, but it's not hurting me in that way.
Okay, so, yes, sir. So your girlfriend uses it and your best friend uses it?
No, she doesn't use it, but it's friends that use it and people around school that did use it.
Okay, well, my question is for her. I would like to know, why she doesn't get upset when your friend used that term, but she got upset when the men at the restaurant used the term? I want to know why she gets upset in one instance but doesn't get upset in the other instance.
Well, I'm going to answer it first if I can. My friends, they already know that she doesn't like that, so they don't do it around her. I'm always out with them. But here she is for the second part.
I cannot think of a time that any of his friends have used that term around me. They know that I get upset. They know that I would call them out on it. So to answer your question, I guess, I do stand up for him, and it does bother me when people do use that term. I just don't think that term should be, I don't think it's appropriate for a white person to ever use that term.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gus.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Person, Mr. Nero, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan?
I do. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't have the greatest connection. You guys will come across pretty thin. You can hear me okay, though?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Greetings to Ms. Sullivan and her boyfriend, Mr. Green. Thanks for coming on the broadcast. I had a couple of questions. My first one is, How did your father feel about you being with black guys? And that question is to obviously Ms. Sullivan.
My father did not love Ramonte anymore. Oh my gosh, my father thinks Ramonte is probably the greatest guy that I've ever dated. My father has the utmost respect for Ramonte. In fact, both of my parents constantly text him or write on his Facebook wall thanking him for taking such good care of me and telling him how outstanding he is. He attends our family gatherings. He was a part of our family Christmas. I mean, my family absolutely loves them as if he was a part of our family already.
Oh, that's interesting. And Mr. Green, how does your father feel about it?
My family loves her. They actually tell her to come over. Actually, my dad just got back from a cruise here Monday, and he told us that he has a surprise for us for some reason. So they love her, actually.
Interesting. I asked that question because, Ms. Sullivan, I'm on your blog, and I'm reading something that, I guess you wrote. I'm assuming you wrote it. It's on your blog. If I could just share it with you, a snippet, if that's okay, Gus? We have time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, here you put, let me get this straight, though. I'm not dating any nigger, and you put asterisk where the I would be. My hands feel dirty for even typing that word. I am dating a man with the smoothest brown skin and curly hair. I'm dating a respectable, hardworking man that would do anything to make me smile at the end of the day. I'm dating a man who helps me buy groceries, wash laundry, and even clean my apartment, even though he has other things to do. Work 40 hours a week, and it's not his job. I am dating a man that holds doors open for me and everyone else behind him every time. I'm dating a man who has never been arrested and doesn't walk around acting like a fool. I am dating a humble man, someone who puts others before himself. I'm dating a man who loves motorcycles and music. I am dating a man with a future. I am dating a man with a great sense of humor. I am dating a man who cuddles his puppy like a newborn baby. I am dating a man that will eat hot Cheetos with me while binge watching Netflix. I am dating a man who tells me I look pretty in glasses and pajamas that I haven't taken off for 2 days in a row. I am dating a man who loves to cook and is so good at it. I am dating a man that spoils me. I am dating a man who loves God. I am dating a man who loves me unconditionally. After reading that, I'm certainly not surprised that your family, likes this man or, treats him a certain way, I suppose, because when I read that post, what I don't see is Ramonte, Mr. Green, as a person. To me, he seemed like he is fitting in the role of a descendant of slaves, that he's there to serve you, that he's there to basically revolve in your orbit, so to speak, it pull into your orbit and revolve around the things you want to do. And that he hasn't found himself yet. You know, his world is centered around you and what you want. So, am I reading that wrong? I mean, because I don't see any of this post at all. It just seems like everything is whatever she wants and whatever she desires.
So, may I ask you, do you have a wife? Do you have family?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Do you have a wife or do you have family?
No, I don't have a wife, sir.
Wouldn't you do everything for your wife if she asked you to?
Well, I don't have a wife. But let me just share this with you, Mr. Main. I am quite your age. I have been married before. And one of the biggest mistakes I see that guys make is that they get pulled into the female's orbit and then they revolve around all of the things she wants to revolve around. And they lose themselves. And as I'm reading this post, it just seems like, I mean, I'm, you know, and I know you're a young man, I assume you're a young man, but you just haven't found yourself yet. See, because 80% of your problems are going to be connected to a female. This is what I tell young guys. And that your life is about you. It's not about her. It's about you. And I don't see you in that coat. All I see is her. And she's getting everything she wants out of a relationship. What are you getting?
I'm not a talker, to be honest. I don't like the blog posts and everything. This was hers. I let her be. This was not supposed to blow up like this. She loves me for one single fact, and that is not because I am black. She is not racist. She loves me for me. I don't do anything that any other person wouldn't do for their other. I am a brother. I'm a son. My mom taught me right and to do the utmost best for anybody and to do as one or do somebody as I would like them to do me, regardless of anything, regardless of color, and that's just me. That is me, and that's why she wrote that post.
Hang on. Mr. Nero, hang tight. I want to make sure we nab everybody that dialed in with a hand. If you had any more, we'll circle around again.
Well, I just want to make sure, because I don't think I got an answer to the question, but, yeah, I'll wait for you to get back around to me.
Oh, he didn't answer your question?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a clear perception right now, but
your question, what is he getting out of the relationship? That was your question?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you getting out of the relationship? That was the question, Mr. Green.
I'm getting love. I'm getting my best friend. I'm getting everybody I want. I get another family. I get a different experience. Yes, this situation right here, it shouldn't be occurring. We shouldn't have the interracial relationship. We shouldn't even have racism. But I love her, and I do right by her, and I do right by everybody.
Okay, maybe he's not really understanding me. But see, in her post, she says he helps her buy groceries, clean her apartment. These are very tangible things, right? What are you getting out of the relationship? From that perspective, what tangible things are you getting out of this relationship, sir?
So you want her to write everything about our relationship online?
No, sir, I just hoping to get an answer to my question, that's all. I mean, what are some of the tangible things you're getting out of it?
She gives me gifts. She buys me dinner. She buys me food. She cooks for me sometimes. She helps me pay for gas. She gives me a fun time. She does anything else another girl would do for her man.
Okay, that's the only question I wanted to answer at this point. Thank you, sir.
That answered it?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks. Sorry.
The caller at 6679. Did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Yes, I have a question. When you, this is for the young woman, when you were first, I guess, when the racist comments were first brought to you, because I'm assuming that you were under one understanding about racism, and now that you have this black boyfriend that you're under another, when did that light bulb go off as far as you're changing of thinking about racism?
And so is that for a question for me or for Ramonte?
It's for you.
Okay. Can you, I guess, repeat the question? You were starting to break out a little bit towards the end.
I apologize. Let me restate my question. When you, I'm assuming that you were under one understanding about racism pre this relationship, and I wanted to know when did the light bulb, if at all, change your perception as far as racism once you got into this relationship?
So you're asking how my views towards racism changed once I started dating Ramonte?
Yes, if they have, yes.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I think they've definitely changed. Before dating Ramonte, I honestly thought that racism was a thing of the past, and I'll admit that's me being very naive. That's me not educating myself on other cultures. But since I have started dating Ramonte, it's definitely opened my eyes to be more conscious of what other people do and what other people say. If anybody says or does something racist around me, I definitely stand up, not only for my boyfriend, but for those who they're being racist towards. I try to find myself pushing to be an advocate, I guess, for those who aren't there to defend themselves, I guess. Now, if somebody is experiencing racism in person and I'm there, I would definitely jump in and help defend as well. But definitely, dating Ramonte, it's definitely opened my eyes that racism is very still alive and present in the U.S.
Okay, this is my last question. Are you saying that before you were in this relationship that you weren't clearly aware that there's a difference in the treatment or that there were two different Americas, one for whites and one for blacks? You're saying that you're completely oblivious to that? Completely, that the rules were different?
I would not say 100% oblivious to it. I just think that's how the way I was raised. I don't see color. I've never associated myself or anyone to a certain race. So to me, it has always just seemed radical and extreme that people would care so much about race. But I definitely was still aware that there was some racism still going around. I just wasn't aware to the extreme. But like I said, I started dating people of other races as early as middle school. So I was very young before. I was very young when I was that naive, I guess, is what I'm trying to point out. As I've gotten older, I've definitely been more aware of it.
Okay. Now, when you were growing up in your neighborhood, were there any other blacks in your neighborhood? Were there any other blacks in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. As a kid, my neighbors across the street, they were black. I grew up in Emporia, Kansas. Probably only 50% white, I would say a good 30% Hispanic, and the rest being Asian and black. So I grew up in a very multicultural elementary school as well as middle school. It wasn't until high school that I moved to Goddard. So, yeah, I was in a very multicultural school.
Hey, thanks for answering my questions. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great night.
Right on. Before we get to the caller 9769, I just wanted to make sure I asked, you all were together when the Ferguson situation happened this summer. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you all discuss what was taking place then?
We had talked about it, not on a deep level. No, but we both had watched news stories together. Whenever we would see more news stories come out, we would discuss it. Yeah, we definitely talked about it.
What did those discussions sound like?
Most of it sounded, well, from my point of view, it broke my heart. I can't imagine seeing your friend lay there and bleed to death. I can't imagine someone you know being brutally murdered like that and having it come from people that you're supposed to trust. Being the police system, you're supposed to be able to trust, and that's the way that the system should run. I think it was very disheartening to see that. It was heartbreaking for me to watch his family speak about it. It definitely brought me to tears to watch his parents up there crying. And then I'll go ahead and let Ramonte share what his side of it looked like.
Did you think before you passed? Racism? Was that something that was articulated as, this is a manifestation of white supremacy racism? Was that in these discussions that you all had?
Yes. Briefly, I had tweeted about it being racist. Yeah, definitely. I would agree that it was a racist act. I think race definitely played a big role in Ferguson.
You didn't blog about this, though?
No, I didn't. I tried to stay away from politics and all that until,
Animal
I guess,
rights is
the,
politics.
Post I wrote, I guess the post that I wrote about my boyfriend, that was kind of...
Animal rights is politics, though. If you're going to be an advocate for animals, I mean, that's politics, though, right?
Well, I only blog about the animals I rescue. I don't blog about how people should go out and save animals. I just show, like, hey, these are my rescues this week. I kind of share about their personality. But, no, I didn't blog about Ferguson.
Okay. Was there, Mr. Green, anything you wanted to add about you all's discussion of what happened with Michael Brown being killed?
Definitely. Respect to everybody that goes outside that happened. Truly, it definitely was a part of race, but also I think just police need more training. Police department is people also. There is race and higher power and, like you say, white supremacy in the police department. But I think we can still overcome with more training. It shouldn't have to be this way.
Okay. The person that dialed in, last four digits, 9769, 9769, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
I do. This question is for Ms. Sullivan. Ms. Sullivan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. During the incident at the restaurant, what did you expect to happen when you showed those white males a picture of your boyfriend?
Honestly, I was not even thinking. Like I said, looking back, hindsight is 40-40. I should not have done that. I should have gone directly to my manager instead of retaliating and then going to my manager. What I thought would happen, in a perfect world, I thought they would be like, okay, she's taken, and they would shut up. Looking back, that was definitely not the right move on my part. I will gladly admit that. Over and over, but in a perfect world at that time, what I was hoping would happen is that it would make them shut up and leave me alone.
Okay. Next question. In the 2 years that you've been dating Ramonte, no white male has ever taken you aside and asked, why are you dating a black male?
Well, I had an ex-boyfriend who was definitely, he was white, who was definitely not happy that I had dumped him and had started dating Ramonte several months later. Other than that, though, absolutely not.
If I may ask, what comments did your ex-boyfriend make about you dating Ramonte?
Well, you see, I don't know if he would have made these comments, whether I would have dated someone of white race or Asian race or any other race. After him, I think he was very upset that I had moved on. So he could have made comments to me about whoever I was dating, but since I was dating Ramonte, I think it was easy for him to throw jabs at his skin color, so... He said things very similar to me that the guys at the table did, saying that I had jungle fever, I must love the chocolate, that apparently me dating Ramonte gives me the connotation that I'm a slut, or that I'm an inward lover, things of that sort. But Ramonte and I definitely put an end to that very quick. We almost had to get a restraining order against him. His number was blocked from my phone. I mean, blocked from all social media. We definitely did not put up with that. Ramonte and I have known each other since we were young, so we weren't going to let something like that stop our relationship.
Okay. This another question about that. So, did you know you were dating a racist?
Did I know previously? No, not towards the end of our relationship until he had said something to me that it had bothered him that I had dated black guys before. And as soon as stuff like that started coming up, that's when we broke up. I was not about to tolerate someone in my life like that. I don't surround myself with negative people. And I feel like dating is a commitment that you make because you want to potentially spend the rest of your life with that person. And if there's something that bothers me and I can't see myself spending the rest of my life with you, then the relationship is over. So, yeah, that ended quickly.
Okay. All right, now this question is for Ramonte. Ramonte, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ramonte, are there any people in your family who date or have dated white people?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of cousins that have actually fiancés and wives and husbands that are whites.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for asking my questions, Ms. Sullivan and Ramonte.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
The caller at 5321, 5321, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
Hello, good evening, everyone. This question is for Ms. Sullivan. Now, you state that you don't see color. Now, with that being said, why would you classify yourself as white, being that white is a color?
Why would I classify myself as white? Well, I don't introduce myself as, hi, my name is Ashley and I am white. I don't put on Facebook that I'm white. I don't announce it on Twitter. Maybe job applications, I'll check the white box, but I think that's the only time I classify myself as having a color.
All the white people see you as white?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure other people see color. However, in my own personal life, to me, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, purple, green. Like, it does not matter. I judge people based on what's on the inside, on their character, and that is something that my whole family practices, and that's how I've been raised since day one.
So you've seen purple and green people before?
Well, no, but I don't see how that question relates. I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that I don't care what color you are. To me, it's based on your character and how you treat others. That's what defines me, or defines other people for me.
Well, since you don't care about color, maybe you should just classify yourself as no color whenever you fill out applications or for jobs or driver's license, etc. Maybe you should classify yourself as no color, right? Since you say you don't see color. Color is color.
Well,
when you go to the grocery and look at certain fruit and vegetables, you just grab whatever you want because color doesn't matter.
Well, I definitely agree. In some job applications, I don't care to identify. They'll see me in the interview. if it really matters to them what color I am, then they'll see me in person. So like I said, to me, it does not matter what color you are. It does not matter what religion you are. Don't care what background you come from, how you treat others, and how you, I guess just your heart and how you treat others is how I base my relationship off with you, with others.
Okay. Now, may I ask a question to Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Green, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Stuck in traffic, but, you know, I'll be all right. For you, has any of Ms. Sullivan's white friends mistreated you because you are a black male, a non-white male?
To be honest, most of her friends want to be with a black male. They ask me every time they see me, do I have any friends that they can hook up with? So I don't see any of them.
Why do you think that's the case? Why do they ask for black males? Like, what is the reason for that?
Because black men are strong. I guess you got me there. We're strong. They see black men as funny, strong, loving, caring. I guess I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest.
Okay. Maybe Ms. Sullivan can answer that question.
um, Hello, hi. I don't necessarily think that they want to be with, it's not that they're seeing color. It's not that they necessarily want to only be with my boyfriend's black friends because that they're black. My boyfriend's friends are all great, amazing guys that I would want to set my friends up with. I really don't think that a lot of it has to do with color.
You don't think so?
Truly not. I think that they would tell me. I don't think it's like a fetish or something like that. I think that they have hung around my boyfriend and I, and they have seen the type of relationship that we have. They see the friends that we hang out with, and I think that they want what Ramonte and I have.
Well, could it be that they see that there's a somewhat power dynamic where you have more power than Mr. Green, and therefore they want a relationship where they can feel superior over someone, as opposed to being with a white person? As opposed to being with a white person, there really isn't that power struggle, that power indifference from the female to the male, if you get what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying. I definitely don't think that comes into play. I don't associate myself with anybody who would think something like that. Ramonte and I are complete equals in this relationship. I pay bills, he pays bills. I help pay for gas, he helps pay for gas. I buy groceries, he buys groceries. I mean, we are a team. I think that's how every relationship should be. I think at the end of the day, honestly, I would give him more power over myself just because he is a male figure, and I definitely look up to him. I definitely respect him. So I think if they were looking at our relationship as an example, they would see that. I really truly from the bottom of my heart don't believe any of my friends would pursue an interracial relationship just so that they can quote unquote have more power. I think that they would go into it as equals as well.
We'll leave it there, caller. Yeah, I'm going to try to get as many folks as I can. Thanks for being patient. If we could keep it to the questions. You all are doing great. Sticking to questions. Caller at 7947. 7947. Did you have a question?
Yeah, so this question is from Mr. Green. Mr. Green, you said that you met your girlfriend in school and there was only 5 black people. How many of those were women there?
Sorry, how many were what, sorry?
Women. There were 5 black students in this whole school, correct?
I mean, there were more than 5 black people. Let me see. Where am I? Myself, 2, 3. We had probably about 15, possibly, African-American people, I may say, possibly... 3 or 4 of those were females.
Okay. Now, have you ever dated an African-American female before?
Yeah, to be honest, before me actually moving out to Goddard, me and my mom and my 2 brothers, we lived on the kind of north side of Wichita, which is kind of the ghetto side of Wichita. I did attend Wichita Public School Districts, which a lot of African-Americans do attend. I was a bad student, so my mom could not handle me anymore, so she shipped me off to Chicago, which I lived on the south side of Chicago with my uncle. I went to Salem as a Christian school with all African-American students, and then I transferred out to Goddard my 8th grade year once I moved back to live back with my mom.
Yeah, I don't think you answered my question, Mr. Green. Have you ever dated an African-American female?
So all before moving out to Goddard, I dated African-Americans, yes.
Yeah, how many?
Let me see.
How old are you? How old are you?
I am 20 years old.
Okay, so let's say how old were you when you first started dating? I mean, I'd give you what? You tell me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Sorry.
I mean, it was probably upwards more than 20 African-American females.
Yeah, well, how many have you dated? Have you had a relationship with a black African-American female?
Yes, I have.
Okay. How long?
Probably the longest was probably a good 3 years.
Okay. So that was just only one, or has it been several, or that just one relationship you had? Now, you're 20 years old now, so that had to be 17, right?
Correct.
How long
have
you been with her? How long you been with, yeah.
We've been together probably about 2 years.
Okay. So 15, 16, 17?
Uh-huh, and then all before then, I did date African-American girls. It wasn't near the year mark, but it was a couple months at a time.
Let me ask you a question. From a black perspective, what do you find different about the African-American female that you find different about the Caucasian female? And what do you find different? Because you know a lot of African-American males say, oh, you know, black women are this, and that's why I choose a beautiful white woman, or so forth. And so tell me, Mr. Green, what do you find different in your relationships from your African-American female that you find different with the woman you're with now?
Truly, I get the same from both sides. I mean, there's nothing different from my side of the point. I love both kinds. I love anything, to be honest. It's not just color. I love humans. It's a, I love any color of female.
So there was nothing different. So there's nothing you can say that was different from an African-American female that you dated that's different from where you're dating now. No stark contrast. Is there anything that she does differently that your last relationship wasn't? I mean, we all find differences, whether they're black or white.
To be honest, me moving out to Goddard, it was hard for me to communicate with the black community. So that's when I started dating the Caucasian females, and that's mm-hmm. when I found her.
Mm-hmm. So when you say hard, like you couldn't, was there certain things that they did that you didn't do, or they didn't like what you were doing, or, I mean, because you told me you were in sports, and you said one of the things that was interesting to Max, that the fact that you were in sports, that they didn't really get on you at the school about racism because your name is out there. What sport do you play?
I did football, track, and powerlifting.
Okay. Yeah, because you made a statement like that as if to say the fact that, you know, Mr. Green is a football player, so they're not going to touch me as much as they might touch somebody else or get on me because of the fact that you're well-known or something like that. Did you feel that way, that you probably had privilege because you were playing football or track and you had your name out there?
No, not in the Goddard School District. If you actually knew me as a person, like she said in the post, I am... I respect everybody. I was taught by my mom to respect everybody the same as I want to be treated. And that's how I live my life.
Hang on, ma'am. We want to see if we can nab some of the other folks that dialed in. Appreciate your questions. The caller.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. The caller at 8179. 8179. Did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I will just ask a question in respect for your wishes, Gus. The question is, both of you all can answer, but I would like for Ms. Sullivan, is that correct?
Yeah.
I would like for you to answer first. Who do you think is most confused about racism? Black
I
or
think
white people or non-white people?
I'm sorry, you said who is most subject to it?
Who's most confused?
Oh, confused? Probably white people. I learned that earlier in this broadcast that my views of racism are greatly different than Gus's. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm confused about racism, but I feel as though predominantly more white people are confused about racism. I think that, I don't know. I think maybe some white people don't know that they're being racist, and they are, so it needs to be brought to their attention. And I also think that maybe some white people are confused about racism because they think that it's okay, and it's definitely not.
Okay.
So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, you answered it. Mr. Green, can you answer? Who do you think is most confused about racism?
I definitely think it is the African, or not African American, excuse me, Caucasian culture. Just because African Americans, we do see a lot of Black History Month. We do grow up in that environment, so we are aware of it. It just depends on how much you are, stay on top of it, I guess, as you continue to grow. But I do think Caucasians are the one.
Okay, well, out of respect for Gus's wishes, I will reserve my comments and mute my line. Thank you.
Right on. Caller at 8786. Did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My first question is for Ms. Sullivan. Ms. Sullivan, all your previous boyfriends, were they athletes as well?
My previous boyfriend, did they ask what?
Were they athletes as well?
I'm sorry. Remember bringing it. Let me move to a different spot in my apartment. Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat the question?
I said your previous boyfriends, were they athletes?
Oh, were they athletes? Yes.
And you said you also dated non-white people before, Ms. Sigley?
Yeah, I have dated several African Americans. I've dated several Hispanics.
And they all were athletes?
That were athletes, yes.
Okay. And Mr. Green, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you go to the same college as Ms. Sullivan?
No, I currently don't attend college.
Why not?
I wanted to save up a little bit of money before attending.
Oh, okay. And you guys went to the same high school together, right?
Correct.
And did you guys ever, did she ever hang out with you and your football friends, like, party settings or going out to barbecues or gatherings?
Sorry, did who?
Oh, I said, did Ms. Sullivan ever hang out with you and your football friends, like going out to parties or barbecues, etc.?
No, sir.
Did your football friends, did they ever share any racist jokes with you?
No. We're a football team, so anything that hurt one person, it hurts everybody, so we were as one. It was nothing like that.
So them saying nigga never hurt you? At any
time?
Them saying nigga never hurt you?
No, never.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. The person that dialed in 6492, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
Hello, everyone. My question is part of an answer. And both of you are 20 years old, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And you are living together?
No.
No?
No, we're not.
Okay, so but you visit each other and bring and buy and do laundry and food and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I'm going to go to his house and we want to cook dinner, I'll ask him what he wants me to bring, dessert, or if he needs me to pick something up. If he's coming over to my house, he'll ask me the same thing.
Okay, I guess my bigger question is, I'm not sure what you mean when you say boyfriend and girlfriend. Does that mean you're having a sexual relationship versus dating? Is that something different?
I don't think that those are different. I think that we are in a committed relationship. I guess if that answers your question better.
So yes, we are dating.
And so, but your boyfriend and girlfriend, is that the same as dating?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And each of you have had multiple boyfriends and girlfriends?
Correct.
Okay.
Because at first I thought maybe this was your first love, but it doesn't sound like it. And so.
We have both had other relationships. We both have had first loves. But the relationship that Ramonte and I have, it's way better than any relationship or any first love I've had before this. I think first love is puppy love. You don't exactly know what you're doing. It's exciting because you've never maybe used the word I love you to someone before. Ramonte and I waited until we had been dating for over 6 months before we dropped the I love you. I mean, we take a relationship very seriously, so I definitely think what we have is special.
Okay, so do you go, like, out together, show affection in public? Do you, are you, in your area, do people notice you? Do they stare at you or anything?
Oh, yeah, we go out together all the time. I mean, I would never be ashamed to go out with my boyfriend. I show him off. He shows me off. We go to movies. We go out to eat. He comes to my work to visit it, vice versa. I mean, I guess maybe sometimes people stare, but it's nothing that I really notice.
Okay, so no one ever stares at you. So even though there are not many black people in the area there, and even though you had the incident at your place of work there, in a way they're used to seeing a black male with a white female?
No, I feel like we're in a very liberal city for it being, in the Bible Belt. I feel like we're a very liberal city, and honestly, I really don't think too many people think twice of it. There's always going to be those people out there that care and that will stare or maybe make a remark, but honestly, that's something that we don't pay attention to and that we're never really subjected to.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
There were two other folks that called in. Do y'all have time to nab our two other hands?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, cool. The person that dialed in last four digits, 1749, did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
How you doing, Gus? This is Thomas Smith from New York. How you doing, Ms. Sullivan? How you doing, Mr. Green?
We're doing great. Hopefully you're doing the same.
Oh, yes. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Gus, to all the callers, peace. Greetings. I had a couple of questions for you guys. First, you guys sound like you're in love. Do you guys see yourselves having a future long term here, potentially marriage, children one day?
One day, but not 2 days.
Yeah, not today. I definitely would not have spent 2 years of my life with this man if I didn't see a future with him. However, right now it's definitely not the focus of our relationship. Right now we're focused on being committed and having fun with each other and experiencing our early 20s. I definitely see us having a future together and being in the long haul. However, that's nothing that we are set on at the moment, I guess is how to put it.
Oh, okay. Well, does Mr. Green have potential qualities that will make him a good candidate to be a potential husband or father to your children?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Absolutely, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, I have a little brother who's very young, and watching him play with him is amazing. Monte comes from a big family. He's great with kids. I think he'll definitely make a great husband someday, whether that's to me or some other very lucky lady in the future.
Oh, okay. This question is for Mr. Green. I swear all the Greens I ever met, they all related. But do you agree with the whole definition of racism as a global system in which whites dominate all non-whites, or do you believe with your girlfriend's definition, which is more or less like it's just prejudice and anyone can be racist?
I mean, it's definitely both, if I can say that.
Okay, do you think the black people have the power to be racist over white people? As a collective, even if we were all together collectively, like, we have the power to do, get away with doing the things they're able to get away with to us as black people?
No, we'll definitely not be able to do that, no.
Okay. And then my last question is for Ms. Sutherland. During the past few years, there's been countless acts of racism. I mean, we could go back in history to Jim Crow, civil rights, slavery, black Christian codes, whatever. But recently, you know, we had Trayvon Martin. I'm sure you guys are both familiar with that. We've had Oscar Grant. They had a whole movie out about that, Fruitvale Station. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Mike Brown, Tamir Rice, John Crawford, he was shot in a Walmart. Tamir Rice was a little 12-year-old kid that was shot by the cops in about 2 seconds because he had a toy gun. Akeer Gurley, this guy was just shot in Brooklyn a few months ago, walking down the staircase, and the cops shot him. No reason, wasn't there for any reason. There's definitely been a pattern of racism over the last few years. Would you guys agree to that? Especially you, Ms. Sullivan, would you agree to that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. I think it's very easy and clear to see that in the media today that there is definitely still racism running through America.
Okay. And you are aware that if you have children with a black male, those children will be considered black, not white?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you would still be willing to have children, even though that they could end up like one of the people I just named, just, you know, simply killed by the cops for no reason because they're black? I mean, would that be a logical thing for you to do?
Well, I'm not going to just have children with a white person because it's quote-unquote safer, but I'm not going to not have children with a black male just because my children can be subject to that. I would definitely raise my children to be careful and be watchful and be aware of situations like that, but I'm not going to simply not have children just because horrible things are happening in this world.
Okay. A follow-up to that question, I have 3 children of my own, and I think it's very important to teach my children about racism, to be very suspicious of white people because of the past. Do you feel as though that's a good idea for me to do, or do you think that's not a logical thing for me to do as a black male with black children?
I think, yes, it's logical. I think it's great for, I do think African-American children do need to be educated on that. However, I also think you should, as long as you're still telling them, like, there are good white people out there. Not every white person is a bad person, but I definitely think it's safe to be safe. I think what you are teaching them is definitely logical and safe, yes. As long as they know not every white person is a terrorist and not every white person is going to treat them poorly based on their skin color. Does that answer your question?
You answered my question. Thank you. And Gus, thank you very much.
Ms. Sullivan, do you have like a foolproof procedure that black people can use so that they can accurately discriminate between the quote unquote good white people that are not racist as opposed to the white people that do practice racism, white supremacy? Do you have a foolproof method that we can use so that we can pick the difference between the two?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think there is a foolproof method. I don't think there's a foolproof method for anything in this world. I mean, there's people out there that can deceive people. There's people out there that can find their own way to do things. So I think for me to stand here and preach saying that I know all would definitely be a lie, but I definitely think that his response to him teaching his children that, definitely logical, definitely a great thing to do. But at the same time, I don't want children out there to, I guess, fear every white person. I want people to be able to connect as one. I mean, I know it's a perfect world and probably some utopia, But, like, Ramonte and I, he's not scared because I'm a white person. He doesn't have doubts about me being his girlfriend because I'm white. I think we've established in our relationship that I don't have ulterior motives.
Hmm. In the absence of that foolproof method to be able to pick out the quote-unquote good whites from the racists, do you have a ulterior suggestion if you think, you know, it's got to be included that there are some good white people? How would that be done, and why would that have value if you can't, you know, accurately predict the difference between the good white people and the racist whites?
Well, I feel like you can't predict the difference between good Asians and good Hispanics and good black people. I mean, every race has bad people. We're all...
But every race doesn't have racists. That's the clear distinction that we're talking about. We don't agree. That's why I said listeners should keep that in mind as we have this discussion. What I have said consistently, the power, and we agreed, white people have more power. So that's the group that we're focusing on right now, since you all have more power, since we're both in agreement on that. How do you pick out in this group of whites the good white people from the racist white people? And if you said you don't have a foolproof method of doing that, what would be your ulterior suggestion? If you're saying, hey, if you're going to tell black people that it's logical to be suspicious that white people could be racist, but you got to include that they're good white people, why is that a must that it be included if you can't even accurately predict who these good white people are?
Well, I think it's a must be included because if you teach all black children that all white people are harmful and hurtful, then it's just going to create a next generation of cultural differences. I would like to see us progress towards becoming one. I don't think that I think you can tell a lot by a person by the way that they treat others, by the way that they respect their elders, and the way that they interact with people of other cultures. There's always going to be people out there with ulterior motives, but at the end of the day, I don't have a foolproof method, and at the end of the day, I will still stand by my answer that there's good white people out there, and myself being included as one of them.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I've heard that consistently as well. The person that called in, last four digits, 1573, 1573. Did you have a question for Ms. Sullivan or Mr. Green?
Yes. Good evening, Ms. Sullivan and Mr. Green. I have a few questions, but they're like yes or no answers. The first is for Ms. Sullivan. Did you say earlier that Mr. Green is the best relationship, the relationship with Mr. Green is the best you've ever had?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Is he the first black male you've ever dated?
No.
Okay. Mr. Green, this is for you. Is Ms. Sullivan the first white female you've ever dated?
No.
Okay. As a black male, Mr. Green, do you feel that when dating a white female, you have to treat that white female in like a fairy tale or an extraordinary sort of a way to go above and beyond how you would treat a black female?
Me personally, no. I would treat any race of the best that I can. I would treat them and I treat her. As long as they treat me the same, I'm going to treat them the same way.
Yes, sir. And Ms. Sullivan, do you have expectations that a black male is supposed to treat you in an extraordinary or way even better than white males have treated you? Do you, as a white person, do you expect something extra from the black male?
So absolutely not. Like I said earlier, me and Ramonte are equals. We're teammates in this relationship. We're partners. We're best friends. Absolutely not. I just expect whatever I give, I expect the same in return.
Okay, last question. Mr. Green, do you believe that the white female, whether she's young, old, or in between, do you feel that she has the capability of practicing racism, white supremacy? And I say that because generally when people talk of racism or speak of racist acts, it's always the white male. So I just want to know, do you believe that the white female even has the capability of practicing racism, white supremacy against
blacks and other non-white people?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you guys for your answers, and I'm done, guys.
You're welcome.
Grand. I think we hit all of the callers. I think we nabbed all of our... Oh, I forgot the person that dialed in that asked me to go back to him. The caller, I think it was at 1388. Were you the caller I tried to get and you said you were tied up, you wanted us to come back to you? Caller at 1388. Let me see. 1388. Did you, were you able to speak now?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I thought you forgot about me, Gus. All right. I got a couple questions real quick. I know press the time. For the young lady, back at the restaurant, Buffalo Wild restaurant, when the white guys were making passes at you and were, you know, catcalling, and right after you showed them the picture of your black boyfriend, do you think that they got mad at you and started calling you nigger lover, or whatever the case may be, because they saw that as a threat to them, genetic annihilation? That you can, by being with them, that wipes out their race?
I don't think they're concerned about it wiping out their race. I mean, these are like 16-year-old kids. I think whether it had been a white person, an Asian, a Hispanic on the screen, they would have picked something out derogatory that they could say. I think it just so happens that skin color is the easiest for them to pick out on my boyfriend, just because I am an extremely pale person, so it's very obvious to point out that there's a skin color difference between us.
So do you just mentioned just recently that you want to all be one with the black, and being all at one, if you, it's like the previous caller said, if you have a son or a baby, the baby consider black. So by being one, do you realize that will, if we all did that, that would eliminate the white race? Is that something that you...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. I have no problem with that.
Eliminating the white race?
Well, it's not like necessarily that. I just have no problem with races mixing. Like, it doesn't bother me that we were all... I just want us to all get along, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't care who people marry. I don't care who people date, have children
That's
with. To me, that doesn't...
That's not my question. I'm saying, based off of you saying you want us all to get along and things like that, and if we all get along, we had, you know, interracial relationships and have sex and have kids, that will wipe out the white race. Is that okay with you? Knowing that if that's what you're pushing, and knowing that if we have interracial babies, the kid would take, you know, the black genetic, black genetic DNA. Is that something that you will be okay with?
Will I be okay with the future generations being completely mixed races and not having pure white gene pools? Is that what you're asking? Because I'm okay with that, yes.
Okay. The same question, well, not the same question, but in the restaurant, do you think if those white guys were black, drunk, making call and threatening you, saying they're going to have sex with you after they leave the restaurant and left without paying a ticket, and that white manager, you think the manager would have called the police on them?
Well, honestly, I never stated that these drunk teenagers were all white. In fact, they all weren't white. One of them looked as though he was Indian, one of them was Hispanic, one of them was Asian. The others were white. There was not a black person at the table. However, if they were all black people at the table, I still don't feel like my manager would have called the cops. I feel as though that's a very last resort. I think it would take a lot for that manager to call the cops, more than just somebody not paying their tab or making remarks to one of his waitresses.
Okay, my next question.
To answer your question, no, I don't think he would have called the cops just if it were a table of black males.
A question for the fella. He mentioned I just want to know, are both your parents black, and then are both your grandparents black?
Yeah, correct.
Yes?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Say that again.
Okay, yes, they are.
They are all black.
You mentioned, you said it was once you moved around and once you moved to where you were, wherever you're located, and you said you started, was that even eighth grade, I believe? That's when you started being a white girl? So it was like 14,
13? Yeah, correct.
So basically your whole teenage years you dated white women. What was it, you said it was hard to communicate with black women. What do you mean by that? Is it was difficult to communicate with them?
Sorry, when did I say that?
You said that when the young girl, well, one of the callers asked me about, have you dated white women, and you said it was, you found it difficult to communicate with them.
Oh, I just feel like me and her, with our relationship, it's a lot easier for us to communicate because we're a lot open to each other rather than us fighting and bickering about something that's not even relevant and just being open and talking about a situation.
No, so what I'm saying, when you say you were dating, you say you found it difficult to communicate with them. That's why you didn't date them.
Correct. I mean, yeah, some of my experiences with African Americans, it has been hard to communicate.
But that's not what I mean by that. That's what I mean. What do you mean by it's hard to communicate? What do you mean by that?
I mean, just when bickering, I don't like a girl that's going to yell at me constantly, so I don't like fighting every single moment because I'm a chill guy.
And that was all the black women that you come across were always fighting and bickering with you?
No, it's not all of them, no.
Okay. Yeah. Do you actively pursue only white women now?
As I'm in a relationship, I am dating a white woman.
No, never mind. That's all I have, guys. Thanks.
Fascinating. Again, you can visit her blog. Actually, did that is crazy. Anywho, I did check while we were doing the program, and it was Buffalo Wild Wings where they had the incident of the racism. This was from last summer. And this is, I think it was actually two separate. I know the one that I'm looking at that was reported online where it was two black females were working at this Buffalo Wild Wing. And they said that they were getting all types of racist jokes and racist treatment from the other white people who worked there, and that they abused a lot of the non-white employees at this Buffalo Wild Wings. This is in Ohio. And then they had a separate incident where it was a different act of racism, but I knew that that franchise was in my mind for some reason connected to racism. Anywho, folks can check the blog, the specific post that we talked about. I am not dating a racial slur. It's linked in the description for the program. You can go to her blog. It is ashlynsully.wordpress.com. And you can also go back in the archives. You can see where she wrote kind of a follow-up to this piece, talking about the feedback that she's received from it and all the TV and press and everything else. Really enjoyed having the both of you on the program to learn, get more information. Hope everyone stays safe, and maybe you all can do some research on Lennon Lacy, have a conversation about what happened to him, because I think that's an important case that didn't get nearly as much attention as it should have. But thank you, Mr. Green. Thank you, Ms. Sullivan.
Thank you. Have a great night.
For sure. Take care.
You too.
Right on. Context of white supremacy. We should have time if folks have anything that they would like to share based on what they heard. We will get one sound clip in. As I referenced it a few times, Brian Stevenson, he's been out. He's been on Democracy Now! A few times. He's a black male. And he just had a book that came out specifically talking about racism, white supremacy, and I was hoping to get him on the program to discuss his book. And then this week, his institute, they released a fantastic study on and calling it terrorism. Susan Patton in the building, although she did say when she was on the program that she thought lynching was terrorism, she just didn't think current situations, like what happened with Abner Louima. She didn't think that was terrorism. But at any rate, fantastic report when he was talking about that this these terror lynchings, as he calls them, that they have molded the way that we function, behave, and think in the 21st century. In fact, when he was talking about all this, it rung in my mind. I heard a conversation where people were talking about how frequently black people will have a conversation about racism, even if it's no white people around, right? Like, we can just be talking in our residence, just, you know, one-on-one, or if it's a small group of black people, and if someone says white people, their voice will get very low, and they'll say, you know, looking around almost. And I've heard people talk about this and just say, oh my God, you know, us Negroes are never going to get it right, blah, blah. That is what terrorism produces. You have people that are fearful of talking about racism. That is exactly what terrorism is supposed to produce. And that's the way that we should be thinking. That's something I've emphasized, but this just, it drove it home for me. And I think he makes that clear in the conversation. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. It was, I'm never awake at 5 o'clock. That's what time Democracy Air, Democracy Now airs live. I am never awake to hear it live, and don't ever look forward to being routinely awake to catch the live broadcast. But I did happen to be awake this morning. And so I was writing about this because they had a fantastic piece in the New York Times today that was also talking about this. It was online. I don't know if it's in the physical paper today, but it was online. And it was same thing, that this is terrorism. That's the way that we need to think about it. The legacy of terrorism, white terrorism in this area of the world. And as I was sharing this post on Facebook, I clicked Democracy Now, and he was on talking about this exact report. It was kind of like, wow, I cannot, that is crazy. So I stopped and watched, but I didn't get to hear the whole thing. So I will be listening for the first time with some of you up to a certain point, and then I'll be right on time. But this is Mr. Brian Stevenson, fantastic report. This is from Democracy Now with my BFF forever, Amy Goodman, Context of White Supremacy.
We begin today's show with a new report on the history of lynchings in the United States and their legacy today. After 5 years of exhaustive research and interviews with local historians and descendants of lynching victims, the Equal Justice Initiative found white Southerners lynched nearly 4,000 black men and women and children between 1877 and 1950. Nearly 700 of those lynchings were previously unaccounted for. The report details a 1916 attack in which a mob lynched Jeff Brown for accidentally bumping into a white girl as he ran to catch a train. And an example from 1940, a crowd lynched Jesse Thornton for not addressing a white police officer as Mr. In many cases, the lynchings were attended by the entire white community in an area.
Well, for more, we go to Alabama, one of the 12 southern states profiled in the study, where we're joined by Brian Stevenson, attorney who's worked on death penalty cases in the Deep South since 1985 and the founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. The report published Tuesday is titled Lynching in America, Confronting the Legacy of Racial Terror. They're now calling for the placement of historical markers at sites where lynchings occurred. Brian Stevenson joins us from Montgomery, Alabama. Welcome to Democracy Now, Brian. There's a whole discussion again about states' rights. In a moment, we're going to talk to one of the first couples who just got married in Alabama. How does that relate to this horrific study that has been done, or a study about the horrific history of lynching?
Well, it relates very directly. I mean, you're absolutely right that this rhetoric of states' rights was precisely what local states asserted when the federal government began asking questions about why these lynchings were being tolerated. And in many ways, it is that dynamic that set up this era of terrorism. I mean, at the end of the Civil War, you had people who were reclaiming power from freed black people. It's really at the beginning of the end of Reconstruction that we see violence and threats and intimidation beginning to assert itself to sustain racial hierarchy. White supremacy wouldn't succeed if it wasn't enforced with violence and threat and terror. And at the very beginning, African Americans were asking the federal government to intervene. They didn't, and the states' rights mindset really took shape during this era when thousands of African Americans were being lynched and menaced and threatened and terrorized with no protection and with tolerance from both state and federal officials.
Well, Brian Stevenson, your report also indicates a considerable difference in terms of the intensity of lynching from not only from state to state, but from particular counties. Could you talk about that as well?
Sure. I mean, lynching was became a really social phenomenon. It became quite intoxicating when people got this power to just abduct folks and to torture them and engage in this carnival-like atmosphere. They became, for want of a better word, bloodthirsty. And you see some of these counties where you have a lynching, and then that's followed by two or three more in a very short period of time. And what was so traumatizing to people of color is that all people of color were the intended targets and victims of these lynchings. This was not an act assigned to someone for committing a crime. As you've described, oftentimes people were being lynched for no criminal accusation at all. In Blakely, Georgia, an African-American man, William Little, came home from World War I wearing his uniform, and people were offended, annoyed that he had on this American uniform, and he was lynched because he refused to take it off. A black man running to catch a train bumps into a white girl. He's lynched for that incident. This violence, this terror, was really aimed at sustaining racial hierarchy, keeping black people in their place. And in many ways, it was quite intoxicating. You could see whole communities getting involved in these acts of violence and really being grotesque about the way they carry them out.
You talk about the terror lynchings, terrorism. I want to turn to President Obama speaking at the annual National Prayer Breakfast last week. After he condemned the Islamic State as a death cult, he made this comment.
Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. So it is not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency that can pervert and distort our faith.
That was President Obama speaking at the annual National Prayer Breakfast. He's very much caused a great deal of controversy with these comments. Brian Stevenson, if you could respond.
Well, I think the president's quite right to acknowledge this history. I mean, we have never really talked about all of this destructive violence. I mean, these public spectacle lynchings that we document in our report are horrific. 10,000 people showed up in Paris, Texas, in a carnival-like atmosphere to watch a man be tortured. Some of these executions, we have one in Dyesburg, Tennessee, where the man had his eyes gouged out. He was burned. He was mutilated. And thousands of people witnessed this. And it does speak to a very dark era in our history. And we make a mistake in this country when we don't talk honestly and soberly about these experiences. I mean, the whole North and West is populated with African Americans who fled to Detroit and Chicago and Cleveland and Los Angeles, not as people looking for opportunities, but as refugees from terror. And this narrative of racial difference, which was born in this era, that has created a presumption of guilt and dangerousness that too many young people of color are burdened with, is something that we haven't adequately addressed because we haven't talked about these issues. And so I think the president is quite right to remind us of this history. We didn't have truth and reconciliation in this country, and because of it, I think we remain haunted, even contaminated by the disarray, the disruption that these acts of violence have created in our national psyche, but also in our relations with one another. So I think it's absolutely appropriate to be talking about these eras.
And Brian Stevenson, while your report concentrated on the southern states, and obviously lynching was most intensely practiced against the African-American community, it was also widely practiced against in the old Mexican territories that were the United States, like Texas and New Mexico, Arizona. I've seen one report where as many as 600 Mexicans were lynched between 1848 and 1928 in the Southwest. I'm wondering if, particularly in Texas, which you studied, you came across many of those incidents as well.
Yes, we absolutely did, and you're absolutely right. In our full report, we actually talk about the lynchings of Mexicans and Mexican Americans. And they had many of the features that are evident in the lynchings of African Americans. They weren't being lynched for accusations of crime, necessarily. There were Mexicans that were lynched for speaking Spanish in settings where people didn't want to hear Spanish. People were lynched for celebrating Mexican holidays. And you're absolutely right. In the border states in particular, this phenomenon of lynching directed at Mexicans and Mexican Americans was a very real threat. And so this idea that racial difference can make you a target of violence and terrorism is something that we've been dealing with for a very long time, and I think we just haven't really talked about it. And one of the things we want to do by erecting these markers and monuments is to get communities to begin to reflect more soberly on what this history represents. You go to Germany now and you are forced to deal with the legacy of the Holocaust because there are markers and monuments everywhere. We do the opposite in this country. We celebrate the things, in my judgment, that we probably shouldn't be celebrating. In all of these states, you find Confederate memorials and monuments everywhere dedicated to the people who were defending slavery, trying to preserve slavery, and yet nothing about the pain and anguish and suffering and injustice that those institutions created.
Tell us the story, Brian Stevenson, of Jesse Thornton and Thomas Miles and others.
Yeah, Jesse Thornton was an African-American man in Laverne, Alabama, and in 1940, which is really toward the end of the lynching era, he addressed a police officer by his name. He didn't use the term, the title Mister, and that was considered such a violation of the racial norms and values that the officer organized a mob and they lynched him. There were people who were lynched for going up to the front door. A man in Aberdeen, Mississippi knocked on someone's door on the front, and then he was chased and ultimately lynched because he didn't go to the back of the door, which is where people of color were expected to go. And about 20% of these 4,000 lynchings were lynchings for basically social transgressions. Many African-American men were lynched because they had notes or letters to young white women. And oftentimes, people would be lynched for accusations of rape or murder when two or three days later, the alleged murder victim would show up in town saying, no, I was just gone for two or three days. Or the rape victim would say, I was never the victim of a sexual assault. And this hysteria was deeply, deeply disruptive to people of color. One of the things that we discovered that I was particularly moved by were people who told us that they sent thousands of people away, their relatives, their friends, because they'd have an encounter with somebody in town, and they thought the encounter might have been misinterpreted, and they feared the mob might show up. And so they would send their dad or their child or their sister or their sibling to the north because they feared what they called a near lynching. And this trauma was deeply injurious, and you see evidence of that when you go into some of these communities, particularly where nobody talks about this racial history, but they celebrate the, quote, good old days of the early 20th century.
Brian Stevenson, we're just about to introduce the first couple in Montgomery, the first lesbian couple to get married this week. What do you have to say to them and to Chief Justice Roy Moore of Alabama, who's trying to put a stop to all of this?
Well, ultimately, we have got to learn to respect the rights of people who are minorities. You know, Alabama's an interesting state. There was never a time when you could get the majority of people in this state to vote to end racial segregation. In fact, our state constitution, which is being invoked by so many people here in reference to the marriage equality issue, still prohibits black and white children from going to school together. To change the state constitution, you have to have a statewide referendum. We've tried twice now to remove this apartheid segregation language, and each time the majority of people in this state have voted to take that language out. And so what I would say to these young women is that this is a state where you sometimes have to stand when other people are sitting. It's a place where you have to speak when other people are quiet. Courage and courage alone is necessary in confronting sometimes the abuse and the oppression that comes when people don't favor you, when people don't respect you. It's the history of America for justice. It's the history of this state for justice. And I embrace and applaud all who take that stand and show that courage. And I think this is a state that's going to continually have to confront its resistance to complying with the Constitution and respecting the dignity and aspirations of all people.
Brian Stevenson, thanks so much for being with us. Attorney who's worked on death penalty cases in the Deep South since 1985, founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. The new report of EJI, Lynching in America, Confronting the Legacy of Racial Terror. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, the first gay couple to get married in Montgomery. Stay with us.
What does Nelson Mandela have to do with gay marriage? Question. That's why I say Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, in my opinion, highly refined racism, white supremacy. I could be in error. But just a segment like that, where they get Brian Stevenson on, great information, outstanding report, which you can download. It is available. It was linked Democracy Now! As well as the New York Times. What does this have to do with gay marriage? And they were so nice with it. They got the Nelson Mandela thing in, and I'm sure they'll have a quote or something where they'll be able to say, well, he supported this too before he, you know, passed away, transitioned in 2013, that he thought this was the next frontier of civil rights and human rights. And yeah, he was down for the cause. And then before you get to a Kai Gurley, where they decided that they are going to indict the non-white officer who shot and killed Mr. Gurley towards the end of 2014. Before you get to that, and after Mr. Stevenson's report, whole segment on gay marriage, and they have a black gay couple to be the face of what they're doing. In fact, last Saturday, Bill Maher's tag team partner, Amy Goodman, Bill Maher, he had Janet Mock on the program. This is a black transgender person. Writes about all of these issues, LGBTQ, all that. And he said specifically, you are the T, you are the face of the T in the LGBT, whatever else they want to add on, movement. He said this, and I said, whites have been doing this aggressively and in many insidious ways. I think the Post, one of my favorites from everything that's happened with the Ferguson unrest, they had the white minister who had a sign that said Black LGBT Lives Matter. And I'm not saying these folks should be mistreated. I think that's totally incorrect. They should not be name called, abused in any way, shape, or form. But what I am saying unequivocally, in my opinion, racists, white supremacists, a part of their strategy is massive promotion of this LGBTQ to get black people participating in this behavior, sidetracked from racism and saying that this is an issue or that this is on par with racism or this is another type of racism. It's mass confusion, it's deliberate, and it is not in the best interest of black people. But that being said, I thought they just did a with a piece that, in my view, had a lot of great information, but they're still on their grind. My BFF, Amy Goodman. That report, you can check it out. I would also encourage the article. You can check it out at the New York Times. It's Lynching as Racial Terrorism. Mr. Stevenson did not write it. It was from the editorial board at the New York Times. But one of the paragraphs in it sounds very similar to what Mr. Stevenson just said. Most Southern terror lynching victims were killed on sites that remain unmarked and unrecognized. The southern landscape is cluttered with plaques, statues, and monuments that record, celebrate, and lionize generations of white defenders of white supremacy, including public officials and private citizens who perpetrated violent crimes against black citizens during the era of racial terror, which continues 2015. But definitely you should check out that. And then you can also get the report that they were talking about, Lynching in America. I have it on my Facebook page. So if you just look for the link for this article, Lynching as Terrorism, it's in the comments. You can just download it from there, or I'm sure you can look online for EJI, Lynching in America, and I'm sure it'll pop up as a PDF. You can download it. It's not very long. It's maybe 30 pages. Definitely worth a read. With that, if folks have comments that they would like to get in, either on what they heard or our guests, Ms. Sullivan, Mr. Green, feel free to chime in. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday. We'll have Black male Reverend Maupin, as well as a group of Black females down in Arizona. The situation with Dr. Ursula Orr, the Black female that professor at Arizona State University that was slammed on the ground by a white officer. They had been having a discussion on local Arizona public radio. They had Reverend Maupin on, and he was saying that he thought this white officer should be terminated. They had the white attorney for this white officer come on and say that he thought that was hogwash and his client wasn't racist and blah, blah, blah. Mr. Maupin and these Black females, they had some sort of luncheon with the white officer, and he came away and said that he felt that both Dr. Orr and this suspected race soldier should be allowed to continue with their jobs at Arizona State University. And the white attorney came back on. They went on. Anyway, I called Reverend Maupin just to kind of get more details, and he will be on the program to kind of tell you what, if he changed his mind at all, why he changed his mind, what they talked about with the luncheon. It should be interesting. He said the Black females that were present, they asked a lot of tough questions. I'm curious to hear what they asked and if they changed their mind, if they think that this white guy should keep his job at Arizona State. But that's tomorrow, same program time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. With that, if the folks that are with us have comments that they want to get in about what you just heard from Mr. Stevenson or our guests, feel free. Try to be concise. It does look like there are quite a few hands. But if you had anything you wanted to get in, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gus, how's it going? Thomas Smith again from New York. You know, when I first, I'm from Jersey. When I first moved to Harlem about 13 years ago, I was walking down 125th Street, and I wasn't, you know, as conscious as I am today, but I saw they have the House of Consciousness there on the wall. It's all these pictures of the lynchings. I mean, it's like thousands of pictures of brothers just being hung. So every day you walk past there, all the white people have to look at that every day, and they just stand right in front of there. And I just now respect it, but back then I couldn't stand it. First, I wanted to thank you for creating this show. I think this is the best show on TV, the radio, satellite, the computer, anywhere. This, I learned so much watching this. The show tonight was excellent. I hope we gave the young man something to think about in the future. And maybe he'll make better decisions. That's all I hope that could come out of this. The girl was young, and she wasn't refined. She was in New York at her age. She'll be refined. But in Kansas, she wasn't refined. But her being able to access Black people through her boyfriend will refine her, most definitely, and sharpen her racist tool. And but she's you know, she's going to get better at it. Her practice, but she was, you know, a little caught off guard here and there, but I have no doubt that she's just learning every day, soaking it in, figuring out what works and what doesn't, and that's all I had to say.
Hello, good night, can you hear?
Yes.
Gus, have you ever had a marimba any on the program?
Nope. We tried. Several of the folks who listened to the book study session, they took her some discs of those programs and tried to hook it up, but we have failed thus far. Are you still with us?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I agree with the caller from New York. This is the most important show program that's out, and I really appreciate it. But I wanted to say that
today proved in a previous, well, in several shows, a broadcast that you have, that being with, intimately with white people completely clouds your ability to think rationally or in your best, in your self-interest about racism. The young man seemed like a good guy in the sense of law-abiding and docile, but when it comes to racism, it's a subject that he just does not want to touch, and I could hear it with every response. He was unsure of himself, especially in that on that subject, and it seems as though the idea that there's a power dynamic difference between the two, black and white, the way she controlled the conversation, and basically threw him the crumbs of whatever she had left over, is proof positive of that. And, you know, even with her, as you said before, the white woman is very lethal, and she's the perfect, you know, all shucks white woman. But I believe in some of her answers as far as her personal history with racism, it came off as untrue. But, again, I want to thank you for the program, man. I'm done.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Great show. Kind of view the guest as a young, what's that young lady you had on the show before with the wheat money, Crystal Tyler. I think that she's like a young, I think she'll be more refined once she gets older. And probably the same thing that that Crystal Tyler's done with the black male. It was kind of interesting that she said that she didn't mind procreating if all whites procreated and the dominant gene take over and eliminate the white race. That was kind of odd for her to say yes, and that she agreed with that. I did want to ask the young fellow, you know, if it was acceptable for him or if he thought it was an act of racism from his girlfriend to still be friends with people that called him nigger. And he mentioned, he said that some of the friends know not to say it around her, so, but they still do say it. And he still considered them friends, even though the girl said she didn't approve of it. And I think that's like an act of racism also, too, on her behalf, or to still consider them her friends as long as they don't say it around her. But she still considers them friends. That's all I have.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so Monday I went to a library to return the book Without Sanctuary. And when I was returning the book, the person who was receiving the book, she was a white female. I returned the book and she says to me, this is a good book. She says, was it sad? And I said, yes, it was very sad. And she goes, oh. And then she told me to have a nice day. And I was wondering if what she did was an act of racism. Because she seemed very, not genuine about what she was saying to me. She was just talking to me, conversation. Because she actually, like, flipped through the pages, you know, she was actually looking at the lynchings. And she didn't look affected by it at all. You know, and I was just wondering. But, yeah, the guest that you had, the female, the white female that you had, what I found interesting with her was that she said she lived in a liberal part of Kansas. But yet still, she had these teenagers call her a nigger lover and her partner a nigger. And he also experienced being called a nigger on the roadways by a random white person. And yet still, she don't think that there could be a threat on his life. And what about to say? I just found the whole thing very sad. You know what I mean? S-A-D, sad, for the black male. I mean, you're in this relationship with this white female, you have white friends, your white friends are calling you nigger, and you're trying to differentiate between N-I-G-G-E-R and N-I-G-G-A, and like that makes a difference. It's like, oh man, it's like, it's so sad. It's like every time I hear these, every one of these interracial couples that you have on the show, it's like it's depressing to hear them, man. It's depressing. It's like it's so sad to hear them, just the nonsense that they talk. It's like sometimes I feel like I've heard too much of them. It's like they really don't make any sense. It's like they stop thinking. And he, I think he also said that in his family he had like a lot of white cousins, and just like, yeah, man, it's SAD and it's SADD. It's just that all around. And that's all I got to say.
Just a quick response to the the book exchange situation. I suspect that probably was an act of racism. And the reason, number one, that segment that Michelle Martin did on Tell Me More in 2013, where she was talking about the empathy gap. She had a young white guy, some Ivy Leaguer on. And I think white people, that's just the nature. They do not sympathize and or think of black people as humans. We're animals, niggers. So I think it's, you know, they have to try to pretend and front to act like they feel some compassion when they see blatant evidence of their terroristic behavior against us. So I think that's sort of, you know, oh, was it, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? Like, you have a book of people being butchered and mutilated, and you're going to ask, was it sad? I mean, come on now. I mean, that's just nonsense all the way around. But I think sometimes white people give those kind of just strange, nonsensical responses because the racism is so ingrained, they don't know the non-racist thing to say so that they can seem like, oh, I'm a good white person. Like, I empathize. I think this is terrible. And I see you all as human beings. And this should not be done. I mean, how do I even respond in a non-racist manner? Like, that's the best that I can come up with. Was it sad? That's my interpretation. Anybody else have comments they wanted to get in before we wrap up? We have about 3 minutes left.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I thought the part where, I'm not sure who was talking to him, but when he read the description of her perfect man, I thought that was very sad. I think, and then someone tried to kind of point it out to him that it almost like he didn't really have a life. He was just, you know, her servant. But it sounds like to me that he's in just huge denial, and he just didn't want to hear it. And so to me, that's very sad. I don't know what their real relationship was like, but they sounded like they lived together to me, but I guess they didn't. But if something doesn't ring true, maybe they rehearsed for the show, and I don't know. But I feel really sorry for that young man.
Went to a school with, she said, 800 whites, and it sounds like maybe 10 black people, it sounds like. So I can't even, where they're calling him nigger. And apparently, like, he got, you know, relatively, put that in quotes, good treatment under the system of white terrorism. I mean, if he hadn't been an athlete, I guess it could have been worse the way he was treated. But, That's quite an environment to grow up in. That's a lot of abuse. Like,
and I didn't get the part either where he was talking about Chicago. What was he lived in Chicago for a while?
I thought. Go ahead.
I thought he said that, and then I started thinking. Well, she kind of put that. You know, she described him as the opposite of a thug, so he wasn't really an N word, right? That, you know, that was the point of her little article that, you know, I don't know what he actually is. She didn't really say he was a man, but he was taking good care of her. And then he said something about he was, they took him away. you know, took him away from his mother, and he had to live somewhere else for a while. That's what I thought. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, she said he went to live with his uncle. I guess he was having some difficulties, as is designed by the system of white supremacy, and that's when he left his mom's, I guess, custody for a time. She does say that she's dating a man. She has that, in fact, with boldface print in that section that Mr. Nero read from her blog, hardworking man, and I'm dating a man that holds the door open for me and helps me clean and blah, blah, blah. Like, she says that. That's one of the main points. I'm dating a man. Say that is under the system of white supremacy, we do not qualify. Men and women are not subjects of injustice, white supremacy. So still trying to work that out.
Who. I was wondering who she was trying to convince.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, though, consistent with black males that are engaged in these arrangements, these tragic arrangements, is that every single one that I've interviewed, every last one of them, they literally fight to normalize their captivity. And I think he was no different.
Reminded me when she said that she rescues animals. I was thinking, wow, that is an interesting mind state for a white woman who sexually sewers black males. That is interesting. And she has pictures of him with puppies in this post. That has come up before on this project. As I said, not thinking of black people as humans. That's pretty ubiquitous under the system. Anywho, we will be back tomorrow, as I said. Even though I will say before we sign out, though, I do think that that is not the most important, but I do think that that is an aspect of white supremacy. Just the fact that this her blog post about all this got so much attention, where she was on TV and the news and and identified as a victim of racism. I do think that that is another aspect of white supremacy. I mean, it is, in my view, to have that in one hand and Kendria Johnson, black 6-year-old who dies under suspicious circumstances after she's been removed from her black family, placed in a foster home, and she dies somehow. She's strangled by a jump rope. The fact that that doesn't blow up and get the same amount of attention or twice the amount. Same thing with Lennon Lacey. It took a long time for that to get some momentum where at least a few people did know about that situation. And I mean, you can just run down the list. Even Corey Stingley. The fact that this white woman, and I mean, this is a community college 20-year-old white woman who gets asked and compensated to write for Cosmopolitan magazine as a victim of racism, sexually sewering a black person, that is racism, white supremacy. Anywho, we'll be here tomorrow. Dr. Ursula Orr, that's the black female professor, Arizona State University. She was thrown to the ground. Reverend Maupin, he was one of the people that was supporting her on saying that the white suspected race soldier that assaulted her, that he should be terminated. Apparently he changed his mind. He had a luncheon with this white man. He and a group of black females, they all should be with us tomorrow. Not Dr. Orr, but Reverend Maupin, this collective of black females to talk about the luncheon and if they change their mind or not. That'll be same program time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you get confused, have questions, you can drop an email UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. On Twitter, @UntilJustice. Thanks to all of the folks who called in. I hope it was a constructive investment of your Wednesday evening. We will chat soon. In the meantime, again, sobriety would be best under conditions of war, terrorism. If you are going to consume, be codified. It's just not a time to make poor decisions that can have huge ramifications on your life under white terrorism. Sobriety would be best under conditions of war. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times in all areas of people activity, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice as soon as possible. Context of White Supremacy, signing out.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.